The 1330 WNTA Rockford.
One cell, is this on?
He's opinionated.
I'd agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong.
He's high energy.
Everybody on? Good. Great. Grand. Wonderful.
And now, he's here to get you through the end of your workday.
After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
Welcome in to the Jake Logley Show on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Sports Fan Radio 1330. Birthday week continues with you till 5 o'clock. My name's Jake Logley, but that's not important right now. Today, we celebrate a momentous occasion. We celebrate one of the most, what will be looked back on one of the most important U.S. holidays of all time in about 90 years, when we truly get a chance to reflect on the great, illustrious, illuminating, life-changing event.
That was the Live Aid.
Is that July 13th? Is that the anniversary of Live Aid?
Yeah.
No, you big dummy. I'm talking, of course, 23 years ago today, Christian Hager brought into the world and forever changing it for the better or worse, depending on your perspective. But, Christian.
So it's not David Bowie back-to-back with Queen in 1985.
It's a silver medal.
Okay.
I'll give it a silver medal because I'm a nice guy.
One of the two greatest live performances of all time.
What's the first one?
I said one of the two.
All right, what's it competing with?
Let's see here. Those are probably one and two is what I'm saying. Like, sure. I would put Freddie Mercury, that entire Live Aid 15-minute set, and then obviously Bowie doing Heroes.
Wow. Okay. I like that take. Coming out of the gate hot on a birthday.
Well,
I like to say like the day of the week,
else.
And then today it's a birthday. Happy birthday, my man!
Congratulations. I appreciate that.
The real congratulations go to your mother. You changed the woman's hip structure forever, and we should be forever grateful to her because she's actually one to put in the work today. You did nothing,
especially with my overly large head. I'm sure it was real fun.
Did you say thank you this morning?
Yeah, I did.
Good for you. Did you actually?
No.
Well, why would you lie to me this early? On your birthday?
I said thank you today.
I forgive
for
you. See,
something.
See, you lied to me and I forgive you. Because it's your birthday. That's
gift number one. I did say thank you today. It just was not for the changing of her hip structure.
Yeah, don't say that. That's a great thing to say about birthdays.
I said
though.
Thank you because she got me a nice
gift.
Today.
Also, you're the eldest, which that is actually true for. You can't say that about like middle children or youngest. like that's not true for me. But because you're the oldest, that's actually true. A little science lesson with Jake right off the gate on a Tuesday.
Science Fan Radio.
Yeah. So how's your birthday been going so far? Any important lunches? Treat yourself to anything? Some of your favorites for?
I haven't treated myself to any food today. Just a 4-day Lala Pass.
Four-day Lala Pass got purchased today.
Yes.
What are the dates
for
Lala?
Thank you, mother. The first weekend of August.
First weekend of August. That's coming up very soon. And then also you're heading out to the Pride of Illinois Joliet tonight.
Is that the Pride of Illinois?
Yeah, I think
so.
I've declared it so.
Yeah. Give myself some all-you-can-eat sushi.
Well, good. I can't promise you there will be a parade of pizza and beef sandwiches rolling in today. I didn't know that was the plan yesterday either.
That was just great.
But
that
we had
was,
a lot of fun.
That was something special.
You got a little early birthday present with the Mark's favorite pizza.
I'm not even a big olive fan, and like
I didn't even know what was on that pizza. I was just like, "There's pizza here. I got to go for it."
Spinach, olives, Brussels sprouts. I think there was, and then I think there's two types of olives, two types of cheese, no sauce. That was just the flavor profiles I picked up.
Flavor profiles. See, I forgive you again for saying that. See, that's two. That's two gifts already. I'm not gonna dive in.
I didn't even apologize for it yet, though.
No, you don't have to. I'm just saying I won't dive in on the fact that you said flavor profiles this early in the program. That's already two gifts. I'm a magnanimous guy. Gifts will be coming throughout the show today, and I hope you're looking forward to it. We got lots to talk about. The Bulls probably being some shakers and movers here, looking to make an addition to their roster, at least be a little bit active with maneuvering their salary cap structure and their roster construction and things like that. Lots of things to talk about there. More reaction from yesterday's trade. The Chicago Blackhawks moving Vinny Hinostroza to the Arizona Coyotes.
Oh, you haven't run out of steam on that one yet?
No.
Oh,
Because now I have to worry about where we go from here. Like, we can all agree that this trade doesn't make sense in a vacuum, right?
Correct.
It doesn't make sense to burn Marian Hossa's contract. You could put him on LTIR. But you want to get rid of it so you can feel more confident in making a trade for a guy that has 1 year left on his deal. And then you feel confident that you can bring him back and have the funds to do that. And you had to move Vinny and Astros to get that contract off the books. In a vacuum, it's the dumbest trade of all time. But it's not in a vacuum. There is something else that the Blackhawks are trying to do. I'm not saying that they're going to do, that they're trying to do. And we got to figure out what that is, whether it makes sense, and whether it makes up for the fact that the Blackhawks got worse between Wednesday and Thursday.
My window of time was a little bit off. It was not by the end of the show, but by the next day show that we have reached the level of acceptance that now you're going to tell me why it was a good trade. And I'm ready for it.
No. It's not a rationalization. I mean, the trade's bad.
The trade's just bad.
But there, it is done with a purpose to try to do Hopefully. Something else on the back end. I have a very vehement concern, in fact, almost a certainty, that whatever the big move they're trying to do will not happen. I mean, we're learning more of what the price might be for a trade with Carolina after some negotiations back and forth. I think there's a trade to Montreal that could happen, but doesn't make sense for either team. We'll talk about that. I mean, we got lots of Blackhawks to get to. Also, a full baseball show today with the White Sox back in action at 7:10 playing the Kansas City Royals. That game will be right here on Sports Fan Radio 1330. The Cubs are back on the West Coast taking on the San Diego Padres, not throwing out the first pitch until 9 p.m. tonight. God, I hate West Coast road trips. Really keep me up too late. Your starters today for the Cubs, Tyler Chatwood taking on former Cub Clayton Richard. So with that said, Christian, we'll start with your favorite sport, the league.
You're just full of gifts today.
Yeah, well listen, this is the most important topic of the show. We have a question of the day that's not related to it, so I guess it's not the most important question, but it's the most important topic in that it fits everything we've been talking about for the last couple weeks. It fits what, you know, kind of our interests lie in terms of NBA roster construction is exactly where you and I are probably the most interested. I don't even know if we like the games as much as we like being GMs in the NBA.
Oh, I could definitely attest that, man, I love being a GM more than watching games.
Pretending to be a GM is really one of my truest fantasies in the NBA.
Incredibly on brand.
Yeah. So the Bulls are getting mentioned by some high-level NBA reporters, mainly because there's not much else going on, and they seem to be one of the few teams that's still looking to maneuver a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And has somehow found some cap space to do so.
We have heard some rumors. Mark Stein was mentioning Chicago in regards to the Carmelo Anthony contract trying to be moved earlier today. I just quote tweeted and just said, ha 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 ha, a million times. We're learning more now that Chicago is only considering that option to then cut him. I would play next season with him. Because he's got 1 year on his contract. You're paying him no matter what. He's going to hit your books this season for no matter what. Why not sell some jerseys, some tickets, Garm Packs? Why not make it a little bit more interesting? I mean, listen, I'd much rather have, if I'm not going to make an addition in conjunction, if I bring on Melo's contract, I can't make another addition anyways, right? Because mm-hmm. I have to buy him out. And that still counts against my cap, right? Or if you buy him out, does he not count against your cap?
He doesn't count against your cap.
Okay, so they could buy, what's the incentive to trading for him than buying him out?
You reach the cap. Well, you
have
get
to send.
Some,
you have to send a bunch of money out once you buy out Anthony. Why could you just buy out those players?
Because they have to accept a buyout.
Okay, all right, that makes
because
sense.
Because the buyout is going to be for less money than what you would get. And I think actually, now that I'm thinking about it, the contract would still be on the books, but you could stretch it. So it doesn't the full $25 million. It would be like $5 million a year here, $5 million a year here. And also, but the player has to want to get bought out. So that's why you can't just buy out anyone you don't want on your team.
Okay. But if they were to do that, clears more money out, hoping to bring in X, Y, or Z, are you really getting considerably better or worse? Are you good enough that you could win? Are you bad enough that you could get a top pick, which, again, next year is not going to be the double draft. You're probably looking towards 2020 for that to happen. When I say double draft, I mean the first year that one and dones are no longer are no longer mandatory. You can come straight out of high school, so you have all the one and dones from the year before and all the high school seniors from that year's class coming into the NBA draft, basically a two-for-one draft class. if you're not bad enough, why not just... I mean, I guess that was the argument for the three alphas. I got to be honest with you. Three alphas a year was kind of entertaining. If you're not going to be good, at least be interesting. And finally seeing Gar Foreman and John Paxson like so desperate to play with... To say they got Carmelo Anthony that they'll get him 5 years past when they should have would be kind of entertaining.
So here's where trading for Carmelo Anthony, buying him out, and creating more cap space is a fun move to think about.
No, don't buy him out. Play him.
No. I have something more fun for you.
No, darn it.
So I would say that the summer has dwindled down. We are in the end of the summer moves, correct? Outside of maybe Kawhi moving teams, there's not much left to look forward to, correct?
Yeah, I'd say so.
What happens around February?
February?
Mm-hmm.
The All-Star break.
And around that time is?
The trade deadline.
And what happens when you have a lot of cap space around the trade deadline?
If you have a lot of cap space around the deadline, teams are trying to dump bad contracts on you?
Dump bad contracts on you, or you can go get another star. You pull into the season with Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and insert player X and Y, Lopez, Hutchinson, whoever ends up starting there.
Yeah.
Right? That's a good enough team to hopefully win a couple games in the East. You're now giving yourself the flexibility to then decide if you want to be a buyer or a seller at the trade deadline. That's the positive about going into the season with some extra cap space. It's not necessarily we're only looking towards 2019 then.
Yep.
All of a sudden now, if you come out of the gates hot, surprise some people, you're sitting in the sixth or the seventh seed around or five through seven seed around the trade deadline. Now you're looking at, maybe we have enough cap space. We can go get, someone might get bought out. Someone might be on the outs, like a Hassan Whiteside situation, plus a buyout.
Yeah, there are lots of bad teams. There are still bad teams or average teams that are trying to be bad teams with good players on their team they're trying to get rid of.
And they wouldn't do it until the trade deadline, and now you have that option.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just take that cap space and take, like you said, expiring contracts and just look towards 2019. But if you go into the season with your cap space filled up or you've laid your roster bare for maximum cap space, then it's already decided going into the season. This is what you want the Bulls to do. Because they're in this transition period where you're not sure if they're going to tank, you're not sure if they're going to make a run at it, this is what you want. You want 20 to 25 million in cap space going into a year. And then let's see where the cards fall. Let's see if they end up making a splash. Let's see if they come out and surprise some people. That's what you want to do.
Well, I'm looking at the Bulls payroll right now. And the good news is that they have about 20 million in cap space right now, maybe a little bit more. We're hearing rumors, we'll talk about it when we come back, that the Bulls are going to offer an offer sheet to Jabari Parker. We don't know numbers yet. And that Milwaukee is not expected to match it. Now, these are coming from sources that have been right in the past. They've also been wrong plenty of times. It's not coming from the most credible sources on the planet, so we're going to treat them with what it is, mostly speculation right now. But let's say they go sign someone, Jabari Parker, Rodney Hood. What are those guys usually worth, Christian? In your opinion, what are those guys going to sign for?
Jabari Parker, Rodney Hood?
Yeah, that caliber of player. And I consider them in the same tier, right? At one point, viewed
Jabari with the injuries is probably in the same tier, but he should be making more than Rodney Hood. But 14 to 18.
14 to 18 million. So mm-hmm. Not even the full 20 that Zach LaVine got, the full thing they have at their disposal. Yeah, at their disposal.
No, probably not. Probably 14 to 18.
I see then coming up in 2019, if you're going into next offseason after signing Zach LaVine, after signing a Jabari Parker or Rodney Hood. And then Robin Lopez's 14.3 comes off the books next summer. You can buy out Omer Asik's $11 million after next year. You have some other random contracts, campaigns, $3 million comes off the books. Bobby Portis, you have to re-sign, which gets a little iffy whether what you're going to do with that situation. But all of a sudden, even with another signing this year, you can still walk into next summer with money to go pay someone else. that you don't have the bird rights for. The Bulls can still be aggressive this summer and still leave the option for a max slot next summer. I mean, it's not going to be plug and play. You're not going to be able to go sign Klay Thompson. I use that name because I love it so much, but I understand that's a pipe dream. You can do that. You're still going to have to do some maneuvering, but it's still a very legitimate possibility, even if you go sign Jabari Parker for $16 million a year, which I would say is overpaying. But what Zach LaVine taught me is my values of NBA players are about 4 years back. It's a new era of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are just worth more money with this cap spikes. I have to readjust my parameters of what a guy is worth because it's a new league right now. It's the Wild West of contracts over the last 2 years, and we have to adjust to that. Tell you what, you can tell me about Jabari Parker. You can sell me on it. I'm very nervous about it. I'd be excited. I'd be intrigued. You always feel good when the guy who's from the city of Chicago played basketball at Simeon's going to come back and play here. We've seen that story play out once. It did not have a happy ending. I'm concerned with the injury history right now also, but we'll talk about it when we come back at Sportsman Radio 1330. We're celebrating Christian's birthday today. Call 8815-874-1330. Wish him a happy birthday. We got a question of the day coming up at 2:30 that we'll have running throughout the show. It's the Jake Logley Show, Sportsman Radio 1330.
Flapper dresses, feathers, and fedoras are back.
Sportsman Radio 1330. Jake Logley, Christian Hager, celebrating Coach Big C's birthday. Feel free to wish him a happy birthday, 815-874-1330. We've got a question of the day coming up on Facebook and Twitter about 2:30. Something we talked about in the last couple days. Finally got to delve into it a little bit more yesterday, and I told you we were going to use it for the question of the day. Figured Friday, no better time. Get off the beaten path a little bit. Get a question out there to you. Get some feedback. We'll also have some results from yesterday's question. What to become America's fifth sport? Is it soccer? Is it esports? Looking forward to finding out what the final tallies were. We started the show talking about the NBA, the Chicago Bulls, Jabari Parker coming back home, speculation starting to float around the internet circles that he may have already received an offer sheet, and the Bucks have already signaled that they're not going to match. We have not heard that from a very reputable source quite yet. We're looking to see if we can get that confirmed from somewhere.
There's also a chance they could rescind his qualifying offer before 11:59 tonight. So there's a chance they could just sign him to an offer sheet, accepted, wouldn't even have to worry about the Bucks.
Why would that behoove the Bucks to rescind a qualifying offer?
They just get a little bit of extra cap space.
Okay.
They lose his rights. There's nothing. I mean, right now it really doesn't matter. It would just be, hey, we don't really care about the offer sheet. We'll just rescind it. You can go sign for whatever you want to sign for.
Okay. Act of good faith almost.
Yeah.
Just saying, hey, go have a good career, kid. Thanks for all the work you put in.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for ripping your knee apart twice for us. We appreciate you. And that's therein lies the essence of my concern, is that we've seen the Simeon Career Academy star mess up his knee or knees a couple times. And we've seen that that eliminates a lot of the chance that you could ever regain the form you had prior. There's something about the knee that's a lot like putting toothpaste back into the tube. You're really good at it. Maybe you'd even get some of it back. Who knows? Maybe a lot of it. But will it ever be the same? I have severe doubts about that. So, with that said, I know you're going to make the claim that their games are different. I know you're going to make the claim that Jabari Parker's attacked his rehab different, so I should be less concerned about it, but you can't fault me for being a little bit nervous about Jabari Parker coming over on a significant money, probably for 4 years, and telling me that everything's going to be fine. He's going to turn into a 20-10 a game type player, and he's going to make all-star games as a reserve, and it's going to bring the Bulls to the four seed in the East. I have a hard time buying that, but I'm interested to hear your pitch.
Okay.
Now, because I know you're a fan, right?
Yes. Now, I come to you today to try to show you...
4 score and 7 years ago.
To sell you on this beautiful new product we have here, and one Jabari Parker. It's like when you walk into, a used car dealership, maybe a disc, you know, CD movie store that's used. You're looking for a piece of electronics. And,
always.
That might be refurbished.
Used car, I always look for a good Mormon manufacturer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is what... I'm going to start off with a bang here. 3-point field goals from the corner. The best place where you want all of your 3-point attempts.
God, here comes your analytics. So hot out of the gate with the analytics.
40% at age 19. 28% at age 20. 44% at age 21.
Yep.
And 50% at age 22 last season. He's 23 years old. Let's not forget that.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So we're looking at total rebound percentage for his size. 10% of the rebounds he gets of the available rebounds while he's on the floor. 11% last year. That's good for someone who didn't come in as a post player. But let's keep it simple here. His 3-point just pure percentage.
Yeah.
25%, 25%, then jumps to 37% and 38%.
Yeah.
For a guy who maybe slots in as a backup post player.
So
Lowry's backup.
38%, that's a 12-point delta between shots from the corner, shots from everywhere else on the three-point arc. Do you have numbers as to how what percentage of his total threes were from the corner? Do they keep that stat?
They do. His last two seasons, 30% 2016-2017, only 18% last year were from the three, but also he didn't play as much last year. 2 years ago, we played 51 games.
Only 18% of his total three-pointers were from the corner where he shot 50%.
Correct. That also could be the offense.
Yep.
Not getting him in position to succeed, get him into the corner, getting him open shots in the corner. But keeping it simple is also 15 points a game, 16 points a game, 21 points a game. And even last year, when it was a down season for him, still average 18.9 points per game.
He also heavily came off the bench last year.
7.3 rebounds per game.
Yep.
He's giving you 18 and 7 with a above average or at least serviceable 3-point shot. Here's where, and the reason I bring up those stats, and the reason why I bring up the 3-point shooting stats as my first and major shot across the bow of your we should be worried because of Derrick Rose situation. He doesn't play the same way.
Yep,
he relies on jump shooting and fundamental moves.
Right.
Derrick Rose relied on speed and athleticism. Guess what doesn't leave you after a couple knee injuries? Your touch. Your ability to find open shots and knock down shots.
Mm-hmm.
Also, okay, maybe he doesn't play the three. Maybe he can't play with Ari at the same time. But I'm envisioning a lineup where it's, I don't know, Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, Chandler Hutchinson, Jabari Parker, and Lauri Markkanen spacing the floor. You talk about the modern NBA and how you want the Bulls to be more modern.
Right.
Oh, yeah, and if that's not working, guess what? We can bring Wendell in and change up the pace completely. This adds a level of versatility to the Bulls roster. You're adding a guy who, even coming off the bench, can still almost get you 20 points a game. That is exactly what you need when you're not sure which way you're going. Because here's my point.
All right.
Like I said, they come out, they surprise a couple people. An injury happens to one of the post players. Now you have two legitimate guys who can slot in, play similar type of games, or maybe even come and overtake one of them if need be in Wendell Carter and Jabari Parker. So you have injury assurance. You also then have versatility because Wendell and Lauri could play on the floor at the same time. Jabari and Lauri can play at the floor at the same time. There's also a lineup where Jabari, Lauri Markkanen, and Wendell Carter can all play on the floor at the same time.
And listen, I don't want to heavily dispute anything of what you just said. I take a little bit of a contention when we talk about the differences in the games between Rose and Parker. All basketball relies on quick twitch athleticism, cutting, explosiveness, getting to the rim. That's going to be part of Parker's game. He's not going to be a 3-and-D player. He barely tries on the defensive end. When he does try, he doesn't look that good. So if you can only shoot corner threes, that's the mark of a player that's going to go down to the other end and shut down the other team's best player. That's not Parker's game. He's got to be dynamic on the offensive end. We're going to have him be worth whatever he gets paid, and you can't just tell me corner threes make him a dynamic player. In fact, it makes him a singular player if he's going to be a corner three player that has great touch and finds open shots. That doesn't say dynamic offensive player to me. You got to show multiple facets to your offensive game. Secondly, and the overarching point to this whole conversation is, you make great points. All this makes sense to me. I would love to see Jabari Parker coming off the bench, being a spark plug, being a Swiss Army knife to whatever the Bulls need on a given night. I think that fits. But everything is relative to the money. All these conversations with any player, where they fit on a team, how much they're going to produce, how where they fit with other players, it's always relative to the contract they make. It's a trouble I had with the Zach LaVine deal. It's the trouble I hypothetically have with this deal because we don't know the money yet. And if you're telling me Milwaukee is offhand going to say, no chance, that means the Bulls came in and dropped the bag. And if you drop the bag for a guy that you don't know if he has a set spot in your roster or on your lineup or on your starting lineup, that's a problem. If you're signing him without a clear-cut impression of exactly how the minutes are being distributed with your two high draft picks from the last two draft classes with other wings on your team, that's concerning, and that would be enough to de-incentivize me and not sell me on this trade. But again, that's assuming that you're right in that he can't play the three. If he can, that kind of nullifies that. It's always relative to the money, and we don't have those terms yet, so I have a hard time really wrapping my head around whether it's a good or bad deal because every signing can be good and it can be bad depending on the risk and the events and the investment you're making, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what we really have to find out. We have to find out what the Bulls are prepared to offer this guy. And we're seeing some signs here. Definitely think Vincent Goodwill, who's maybe the most inside guy on the Bulls, him and Casey Johnson, probably the two I trust most.
Yeah.
Definitely think there's some smoke to Jabari Parker and the Bulls. Apparently he wants to be a Bull, according to sources.
So he wants to be there. So he's going to be happy.
Parker's in. Why haven't we seen the offer sheet yet? Are the Bulls doing some leveraging for the Thunder? Are they trying to get more assets out of them to take Carmelo Anthony's contract on?
I would assume there's some other moves that need to happen beforehand. Also, here's what I'm hoping. I think Jabari deserves a $14 to $18 million contract. But I wouldn't mind a 1 to 2 year deal at 10 to 12. Like that, in a perfect world, he takes a show me contract because he's happy to be back in Chicago.
Yep.
But even still, so either he's coming in with a chip on his shoulder in a place he wants to play at a 1 to 2 year show me contract, or he's getting paid a little bit more than he was in Milwaukee in a place he wants to be. It's a lot easier to keep him happy if, say, he slots in as a backup. The problem in Milwaukee is he wanted more minutes. He felt like he was a starter. But the fact that he's coming back to his hometown, a place he wants to play, and getting paid a little bit more, I feel that like that would calm down a lot of the, I should be a starter. And then hopefully by the end of the season, guess what? He's shown enough that you actually have to slot him into that lineup somehow. That's what, in a perfect world, happens.
And listen, I think in the NBA, it's not as important who starts, it's important who finishes.
But mentally, there's still something there.
Ego.
You don't have a large majority of players that can be Eric Gordon and be okay with never starting.
But everything we hear about Jabari Parker is he's one of the nicest, most team-friendly guys in the league.
As long as he feels respected and as long as he feels like his role is... That's why he came out and said, I feel like I should be playing more in the playoffs. Because he felt like they were babying him and that he wasn't getting the role he deserved.
Wait, did Jabari Parker think that he was better than some of the guys that Joe Prunty was rolling out for big-time minutes?
Yeah.
Did he think that he should be getting minutes over Jason Terry?
Oh, probably.
And Matthew Dellavedova?
Yeah, that seems about right.
And when Tyler Zeller played a couple times?
Maybe Tony Snell?
Tony Snell. That was actually the name I was hunting for this whole time. Yeah, he probably thought he should play over Tony.
Just maybe.
Tony got paid by Milwaukee. apparently not willing to pay Jabari. Maybe they're trying to learn from their mistakes. Our boy Bill Michaels was trying to find every rationale in the book as to why they're not bringing him back, because he loves Jabari.
He's a big Jabari guy.
And so are you.
I am too.
I want to be.
And I'm telling you,
you'll bring
let
me over
the
dark
corner
side?
Three set you free.
Corner threes are for guys like Trevor Ariza, for guys like PJ Tucker, who will go down to the other end and stop the other team's best player.
Yes. But also,
yeah,
when you have some promising post prospects,
uh-huh,
having a guy in the corner spacing it
right
from your other post.
Say it slow. No.
Really
rewind.
Nice.
Take two, say it slower and more condescendingly this time. No, seriously, let's rewind it and say it again. Start from when you have two big post players.
When you have two, count yeah. them one, two.
Okay.
Post players,
yeah.
prospects, even young guys.
What does prospect
guys.
Mean?
It's a young guy coming into the league that you hope is going to be really good.
Right.
They've showed some promise.
No, you're speeding up. Slower.
They've showed some promise.
Right.
Okay, so they've showed some good things on the basketball court.
I like you
court.
Getting softer. This is okay. good. Yeah.
When you have a guy who also plays in the post,
yeah.
who can play outside the three-point line.
Oh, that's when they go really far out.
That's when they go past
that
line.
Oh, cool. I love when they do that.
When they go past that line.
Stephen Curry does that.
Yes, Stephen does. Yes. We call him Steph.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's weird, but we call him Steph.
I've only seen it in books.
It's fine. We call him Steph. When you have a guy out there
yeah.
who can stand out there, it creates more space. Space for the guy in the post, the big guy, that prospect I was talking about.
Right.
To score in the post.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, yeah. good. I'm glad we took time to explain this, because now it makes sense. All you had to do is explain things like that, and then I wouldn't be so lost all the time.
I know. Sometimes I forget that I have to do that.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Thank you for looking out for me every once in a while. It's Sports Fan Radio 1330. We got a question of the day. We're celebrating Christian Hager's birthday today, 23 years old today. 815-874-1330. You want to contribute to the program, going up on Facebook and Twitter with our question of the day when we come back. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Sports Fan Radio 1330, Jake Logley, joined by the birthday boy, Christian Hager, with you till 5 o'clock, 815-874-1330, the number to call if there is anything on your mind. You want to wish Christian happy birthday, want to answer our question of the day, which is the better pro skills contest, the MLB's Home Run Derby or the NBA Dunk Contest?
All right, so we have that question out. You can call in, 815-874-1330, if you want to answer it. It's on Twitter, too. We got the poll up there.
The poll's up.
But more importantly...
Yeah.
Can I hear it, please? Can I hear you say it about yesterday's question of the day?
I'm told, I mean it, but I'm told that apparently our poll results came in, got some more influx of votes in the overnight hours... And apparently we do have a decisive victor. It was hanging around 50-50 for most of the show yesterday. I was holding out hope that I would be at least not totally incorrect. Which is more likely to become America's fifth major sport? Our options were soccer and esports. Esports won with a margin of 56-44 percentage on our polls. That's a 6-point win for esports.
Which means what?
That means that America is severely misinformed.
Mm.
That they value their value system is totally messed up. I think you were tagging gamers all night in hopes that someone would vote on it.
I mean, you could check. Oh, tag them once they yeah. voted that I deleted it.
Right.
Mm.
I think there's evidence of that somewhere in the deep web.
Collusion.
You colluded for sure. Mm. I've tried to make this an honest process.
Get you a special counsel and we gon' see.
You made a call to Russia, didn't you? You got them on the case.
I didn't have to make a call. I actually said it in a campaign rally. I just said, hey, we need to find these emails. And, oh, later that night, 34 emails were found.
You lost the joke.
Crazy.
You lost the joke.
Crazy.
Then you just went into straight up, you lost the nuance of the conversation right there.
There is no nuance to this conversation. But I need you to say the words
yeah.
on my birthday.
Gift number 5. You were right.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I was wrong.
You don't even have to say you were wrong, because you were just misinformed.
Well...
You did not fully realize the storm that was approaching you.
We got a lot of answers in the Facebook comment sections, too, that were in favor of esports.
Which just doubled down your belief.
So one guy on Facebook advocated for MMA, though. Mm-hmm. Another one on Twitter advocated for NASCAR. Do you think NASCAR has any more legitimate claim to being America's fifth sport?
I think we do underestimate NASCAR just because...
I think that's the incumbent, but I think it's already peaked.
Yeah, I don't know where else it can go.
I don't see where it's going to grow. I think one of these two things, soccer, esports, is going to overtake it.
And I do think esports can overtake NHL, money-wise. I said that yesterday.
How?
It's already at $1 billion worldwide. NHL, which is a mostly North American sport, well, the hockey league. I mean, if we throw in the KHL stuff like that, maybe they'd be above $4 billion, but they're only $3 billion behind with, what, 60 years less? 40, well, actually, like 100 years less time.
Mm-hmm.
Already made up 1/4. That's pretty big. And it's only going to keep growing as ESPN keeps buying more and more gaming leagues and tournaments to put on their main channels and their, well, Disney, putting it on Disney channels, putting it on ABC channels.
Listen, I can live with esports having more attention paid to it than soccer,
mm-hmm.
than mixed martial arts,
mm-hmm.
than boxing, than golf, than tennis, maybe even soccer. But if you're telling me that it's going to climb to third or higher, I'm ending my sports affiliation forever.
Sports done. Sports are canceled.
Sports are canceled for the rest of my life if esports becomes a bigger deal than the National Hockey League. I don't want to live in that world. That world does not exist to me. It does not. It's not real. And I'm not going to live there.
And since we just put the question of the day and I feel like being right again... What's your official answer for the better All-Star skill?
Oh, it's the Home Run Derby.
Okay, and I'm slam dunk contest.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that America once again agrees with me because I am for the people.
Yeah.
I give the people what they want, and they return with similar ideals.
I'm already seeing so many campaign ads for November. I'm already done with the November election. I'm seeing so many of them.
Vote like you give a damn.
And there's so many ill-timed pictures and so many weird references that I don't even understand. So many referencing more people I don't know.
This person's in the pocket of Russia. Who?
He's so-and-so's puppet. I don't even know who so-and-so is. I don't even, maybe he's
Who's
a nice...
the puppet master? I don't know him. It's like a 45th County Circuit judge is the puppet master. We're supposed to know who that is. Oh, I love politics so much.
Sports Fan Radio 1330, our question of the day. What's the better all-star competition? Is it the MLB Home Run Derby? Is it the NBA Dunk Contest? That's on Facebook right now. You can comment down below with your answer and your rationale. You can also just vote in our Twitter poll. You can call in 815-874-1330. Both have gone through ebbs and flows. We'll talk some more about that when we come back. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Logley, Christian Hager, celebrating Christian's birthday today. Birthday week, going back to back. That's what's exactly how that song sounds, too. It's good to have you along for the ride. We're wrapping up the first hour of the show. It's flown by, talking a lot about the Chicago Bulls, delving into our question of the day. What's better, home run derby or a slam dunk contest? Facebook posted right now. Go comment on it down below. Also vote on our Twitter poll. You can call into the show, 815-874-1330. If you'd like to participate that way, you certainly can. Christian, we said we have a response on Twitter. Why don't you let us know what that commenter said?
So Michael commented and said that it's the slam dunk contest because I've seen someone hit a home run before, but sometimes the creativity of the dunk contest is fun to watch.
I guess there is more artistic flair
to a dunk.
But, like we talked about yesterday, I am not a fan of subjective, celebrity-judged events. What does DJ Khaled know about a dunk?
Can you please repeat how you just pronounced that?
Oh, DJ Khaled? Khaled? Is it Khalid? Is it Khalid? Is it Khalid? Is it Khalid?
Khalid. It is Khalid.
Thank you. How do you say it?
DJ Khalid.
DJ Khalid. What did I say? Khalid? Yes. Khalid and Khalid. You're going to get that mad at me over DJ Khalid versus Khalid? No, you're triggered right now.
I'm not triggered. It was just funny. I haven't heard it pronounced like that before.
I'm pretty sure like when he screams at the beginning of a song, I keep hearing DJ Khalid.
Some say Khalid, some say Khalid. Is like back in, we take it over.
So there's a whole bunch of pronunciations, but none of them are the one I just did.
No, but okay. that's a line in the song because when he actually rapped for once.
Oh. 815-874-1330, the magic number to call if you want to participate in the show. Let's go there right now. Go to the phones. Good afternoon. Who do we have on the phone lines?
Today's birthday.
Love it.
The solar return shows you making time for the things you love but have rarely been able to do. This is not because of a major professional shift. Rather, you just decide to honor yourself. An ally will inspire you to stick by your convictions. In 2019, the professional scene ramps up. Deal in January will help your nest egg. Pisces and Leo adore you. Your lucky numbers, 7, 10, 30, 26, and 2.
Jake, an anonymous drop-off on my desk today. Some very interesting information. We're going to delve in a little later in the show. You wouldn't happen to know anything about that, would you?
No.
Okay, I like that. Well, an anonymous drop-off today with some interesting information about some golf in our area. We're going to get into that a little bit later.
I am so ready for the ally to really push me forward. 7 is already one of my lucky numbers, so I think, the stars have aligned, the cards are all in play, and I appreciate that, Jake. Thank you very much.
Well, and you're not, you don't have any chicksadectophobia going, do you?
No, I do not. No, I do not.
Okay.
Jake, I can't join you for another couple hours, but I hope the Bud Lights are already flowing on a Friday afternoon.
Well, as a matter of fact, it has been.
God.
With your question?
Yeah.
Esports, I can see where, you know, people confined to wheelchairs and stuff like that would be more into esports.
Yeah.
Because they would be able to participate.
It's more inclusive, for sure.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. All the major companies are making disability enabled controllers, big button controllers, controllers that people also that don't sometimes have full control of their hands, their arms also can use. Also, there are some controllers coming out that you can work with your mind. Similar or just very little finger tapping. So it is very inclusive.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, well, see, they're tapping into that market 100%.
That's those darn millennials. They come up with everything. How about today's? Do you watch the slam dunk contest, the home run derby, or neither?
You know, I watch that guy fold up pizza boxes.
That's the most interesting. That's option C, that guy for Domino's.
It's about as challenging because with the slam dunk, there's no defense, and with the home run contest, you know, they're throwing, hell, they might as well throw them up underhand.
So it's
not a contest.
I like that.
But it's like any, when you have the all-pro sports, or not all-pro sports, what do they call that? The all-star game.
Yeah.
You know, and the score winds up to be 137 to 133. A lot of defense played on that game, wasn't it?
No, I don't think so. There's just a little bit more defense played in the actual game than the dunk contest.
Maybe the baseball is a little bit closer because somebody's trying to win home field advantage there.
Well, that's just baseball in a celebrity game or an all-star game is at least somewhat close to the actual game itself. You're still getting pitches into the same velocity. Players are still playing defense. With basketball, there's just more strategy and more communication that can't be had when it's not your teammates. So I totally see what you're saying, but your vote's for that guy folding pizza boxes. I appreciate that. You're always thinking outside the pizza box.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Have a great weekend, Jake. Thanks for calling.
You too. Bye.
That's Jake calling and wishing Chris Chen a happy birthday. Always good to hear from Jake. And we got some information that I find very interesting that maybe we'll get to a little bit later in the show if we can help it. And I know I'm waiting for that wrap-up to kick in because I thought that was going to time out pretty well. But our question of the day, what is the better all-star competition? Is it the home run derby or is it the NBA dunk contest? We are going to hit a break. This is the end of the first hour of the program. You are listening to Sports Fan Radio 1330. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Logley, Christian Hager celebrating our very good friend's birthday. Turned 23 years old today. A big part of what we do every single day here on the show. Could not do it without him. Very happy he made the decision to jump on board, that he's enjoyed his time here. Hopefully he has, and that it continues into the future. Christian, we talked a lot about the NBA in the first hour. We also got into our question of the day, which today is, what's better, the Home Run Derby or the Slam Dunk Contest? Early returns coming in, Slam Dunk on the Twitter poll. Still waiting for your comment on our Facebook, Sports Fan Radio 1330. On there, be sure to comment down below or just vote in the poll. That's cool as well. 815-874-1330 if you want to be a part of the program. We are more than happy to get you on the air as well. Make your voice here heard all across the state line. Could be a very big opportunity for you to become a foremost authority in all things sports, just like that. sportsfanrockford.com, the brand new website you should check out. Bookmark, put on your favorites tab. That way you can have quick access to full-length episodes of Randy and Company in the mornings. Randy will be back Monday live from the Rockford Pro-Am. We'll be out there as well. And then also Jake Logley's show here in the afternoon. Full stats, schedules, standings, and scores once we get into the prep football season, which is we are staring down the barrel of right now, Christian. That'll be here before you know it. Should be a lot of fun. We have, in my opinion, I would say objectively, the most full, inclusive coverage of all things high school football, high school sports. I'd put us up against anyone and feel pretty good that you are getting the most and the most accurate information possible when it comes to prep sports in our state line. We care very much about our local high school athletes, and we want to give them all of the attention and praise and coverage that they so much deserve. With that said, Christian, we had history made out at Wimbledon this afternoon. You said you followed tennis for a period of your life, so you can explain to me in comparison as to how crazy this actually was, what the time lengths were. Is it history making? It was John Isner and Kevin Anderson at the center court at Wimbledon. Tell us what went on.
99 games of tennis.
They couldn't just make it an even 100?
5 sets.
Yep.
All over 6 hours long. The final set, the fifth set alone, lasted nearly 3 hours by itself. It is record-breaking because for Wimbledon semifinal records. For a number of games, the previous record was 72, as well as duration by 1 hour and 52 minutes longer than the next longest semifinal match. But it's not the longest match in Wimbledon history. If anyone remembers 2010, one of the participants in today's, John Isner, back in 2010, had a 70-68 fifth set against Nicolas Mahut that lasted 11 hours and 5 minutes, that started on a Tuesday and ended on a Thursday. So this is the second time that Isner has had a record-breaking Wimbledon match.
Yep.
This one just happened to be in the semifinal, and Isner did not win this one. He won the 70-68 fifth set match against Nicolas Mahut in 2010, but this one he lost to Kevin Anderson. To give you some background or to give you a point of reference, it's like a basketball game going into 5 overtime, 6. Think Connecticut,
yep.
The UConn Big East game. Think that.
Wasn't it Syracuse on the other end of that?
Yeah, Connecticut, Syracuse.
In a Big East tournament.
6 OT games.
I vividly remember being up way too late watching that game.
Waiting for someone to win. But basically, so what happened is both these guys are really, really good at serving the ball,
yep.
But both of them are really not that great at returning the ball. So there was just a lot of high-powered serves, not a lot of rallies, and then that's why you just keep going back and forth to the point where it's 26-24 in that final set.
Yeah, certainly both these guys just delivering absolute, to use the hockey term, just howitzers from the clips I was seeing out there. Pretty incredible test of wills to see who makes it long. 6.5 hours.
Yeah.
I told you during a break, I can't think of a single thing. That included, by the way, all of you sitting at home snickering, that included that I would want to partake in for 6.5 hours.
With no breaks. Little to no breaks.
Almost no rest whatsoever. No reboot time. 6.5 hours. Not a chance. Nothing. Nothing. No marathons. No binges. Binge watching, binge drinking, you name it. 6.5 hours? Okay, I have been.
I think I've been at a bar / club for 6.5 hours before.
I've definitely been at a tailgate for 6.5 hours plus, so I guess I'm maybe stepping on my own toes.
You're not really doing physical activity.
Tailgating.
Oh, besides throwing a football around to the point where you throw out your shoulder.
Yeah, well, now it's just a little sore. Just a little too sore for the activity that was actually exerted, the energy that was exerted. But not, that's rehashing and opening an old wound. I appreciate that. I except for tailgating and day drinking activities, which I have done for longer than 6.5 hours. You said watching Lord of the Rings. I wanted to throw you out of the studio immediately.
Or binge watching a show I like.
6.5 hours worth?
I've probably done it before.
Of course you have. Video games? Could you do that for 6.5 hours?
Absolutely.
You've
when
done it?
The new Call of Duties used to come out, I used to beat the campaign in 9 hours the first night, just straight.
Were you the guy that would like miss school the next day?
I've only done it once or twice with a game. It wasn't consistently. It was like Madden once, I'd miss school, and I think maybe one Call of Duty. But most of the time, they come out on Tuesdays or Thursdays.
Sorry if mom's listening
or Fridays.
And she didn't know. Did you have to feign illness?
No, she understood. She was the one who drove me to the midnight releases.
God, team player.
Oh, absolutely.
Gotta respect it.
I mean, when you're doing okay in school.
Right. Yeah, I was like, that would not have been an option for me, even if I wasn't a video game. Also, because I would not have pulled it off as well. I would not be able to miss a Friday and recover as well as you probably did. So that's a fair point.
But, no, I mean, yeah, I definitely could see myself doing 6.5 hours.
That's simply too much of anything.
In college, I'm sure there was probably a 6.5 hour gaming marathon.
And that's why you
advocate
for esports, because you can play them for 7 hours or 9, like you said, with a campaign of a Call of Duty. I did that once with Call of Duty. Like, I put it in and I thought I'd like been playing like all day, and it had been like 3 hours, and I was like, my eyes hurt, my thumbs hurt, this is not fun.
You build up a tolerance.
Yeah,
like any great addiction.
Yeah, any solid addiction, you build up a pretty consistent tolerance, and all of a sudden you can hardly notice it anymore.
Music festival. I've been standing out in the sun, the heat, from 12 until 10, from noon until 10.
Yeah, music festivals count. That is exact. That's out in the dry summer heat or humid summer heat.
I'm not saying that it's similar to playing a 6.5 hour
but it's pretty
tennis
close.
Match.
But it's pretty close.
But also, that's a long time to be out in the sun, standing. Yeah. We'll put it down. I don't think I could camp an individual stage without going out, getting food, going, getting a water refill, maybe sitting down at a picnic table for more than like 3-4 hours. I think 4 hours is my max sitting at a single stage camping out.
In tennis, when they take their break and they sit on the bench for a little bit, how long is that for? Do you know?
I have no idea. I can't be more than like 5-10 minutes.
Is it even that? I thought it was like 2 or 3.
2 or 3. Just get.
I don't know. I
get a water quick.
I am throwing this totally out of just my guess of what I think I've seen in the past. Out of the 4 or 5 times I've ever sat down and watched tennis for more than 10 minutes, which again proves my point. I couldn't watch that for 6.5 hours. What would ever make me believe that I could do it? It just doesn't. The math doesn't check out for me.
You also know you're reading a tennis recap when
what's the
Fortnite
jargon?
Is used.
It almost took a Fortnite.
No. Isner also broke the record for most aces in a Wimbledon tournament. His 53 on Friday gave him 214 for the Fortnite.
So you only make it to the semifinal. You set the record for most aces in the most prestigious. That was also very tennis thing to pronounce
prestigious.
It that way. Prestigious tennis tournament of the year. And you don't at least go to the final. That's brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal break for John Isner. But the good news is Kevin Anderson had the boost of the Jake heater pushing him along the way, and that's why he was able to maintain victory today.
Little sad note.
Yeah.
Isner was trying to end the longest major title drought, 58 majors, for U.S. men in tennis history. A U.S. man has not won a major tennis title in 58 majors.
Who was the last one to do it?
Andy Roddick in 2003 at the U.S. Open.
And I know at the time, Andy Roddick was like the most powerful serve on tour.
Yep.
Would that still be true? Or would he just get obliterated?
I don't think he'd get obliterated, but it's not true anymore. He's not the most powerful serve. Yeah, he had his own line of tennis games, basically based on his serving ability.
Well, EA Sports was like having a massive amount of success with Tiger Woods PGA Tour. And they're like, how do we do the same thing with tennis? Like, we don't have any good tennis players.
Andy Roddick.
What's that guy with the Lacoste hat? Andy Roddick? Yeah, put him on there. See, I don't know tennis, but I know weird facts. Like, I remember that Andy Roddick would wear
a Lacoste hat.
He was sponsored by Lacoste. And therein lies the true essence of my greatness, or lack thereof. That's the best thing I could come up with for Andy Roddick. It's Sports Fan Radio 1330. We are celebrating Christian Hager's birthday today. A little bit of history made at Wimbledon. Will you watch the final? When's that coming up?
It will be tomorrow. Right now, Djokovic is won the first set 6-4 over Nadal. Nadal's up 1-0 in the second set in the other semifinal.
So this
one, they had to close the roof of Wimbledon Center Court because the previous match took so long.
Why does that matter?
You close the roof and then you can turn the lights on.
Oh.
With the roof open, then you can't.
They were going to run out of daylight if they didn't close the roof and turn the. Okay, that makes a little more sense. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Our friend Dan Patrick with Above the Noise. You are listening to your State Line Home for Sports. It's Jake Logley Show on Sports Fan Radio 1330. This is the Christian Hager special right here. Had to bring out a little Prince on the birthday.
I've had Ellie, I've had Marvin, I've had Motley Crue, and obviously I had to have Prince.
And this Prince song in particular.
Have you ever... I don't think you've experienced the karaoke of this. I'm trying to think if you've ever been in the building for a karaoke performance.
I've heard you sing Purple Rain once.
What were you in the... Okay. I assumed you were there for one of them.
I was gracing the prime downtown establishment of the Rue Marché when Christian Hager delivered an impassioned, inspiring,
I knew it was either that one or Let's Get It On. Those are the two mainstays.
Yeah, and the gravel in his voice when he ripped back into the second verse of Purple Rain is moving. It is earth-shattering. It's everything you've ever wanted and more. You didn't know you needed it. You didn't bust out the falsetto middle eight section where you're just screaming woos.
Well, because most of the time when you do it karaoke...
No, I know what you're going to say. You just stay up there. You keep going.
Just don't care. Even if the song's not playing, just keep doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I should have actually walked outside and then came back in to do it in honor of the movie.
Okay. I can appreciate that.
Crying as I walk out.
I was expecting like the James Brown thing where like you start to faint and then people are trying to help you off stage and you just fight them off and then just keep going.
I haven't gotten that confident yet.
That's how much energy you're putting into your performance is it just drains you to a point.
It drains me to the point where I just about pass out.
You're doing so hard that you just feel like you're about to go down and stagehands have to help you out until you just shove them off and then just get right back into it.
Stagehands or groupies, either or.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's good to be with you, Christian. A happy birthday to you. As we dive into our second hour of the show, talking a little bit about Wimbledon, to start the 3 o'clock hour, John Isner falling to Kevin Anderson in a long fifth set. We got the other semifinal going on right now. We'll update you with any pertinent information there. I wanted to follow up with our a main point of conversation yesterday, which was the trade of Marian Hossa's contract and Vinny Hinostroza, the real price, to the Arizona Coyotes. For basically Marcus Kruger, a 18-year-old prospect named Marcus Entwistle? Not Marcus. Mackenzie Entwistle.
Yes.
Who's 6'3", power forward, left wing, might be asked to step in and play. I'm terrified of the possibility. I think he should get some seasoning in Rockford where they can get a feel for him first. But I don't always get what I want, as evidenced by the fact that Vinny Hinostroza is no longer a Blackhawk. I think the consensus I've come to is that if you grade the trade isolated, it is a certified D minus. And the only reason it's not an F is because you did get rid of Marian Hossa's contract. Is that a sunshine and rainbows take, Christian? Because you thought I was going to rationalize this trade by at some point next week, and you were surprised that it only took a day. I don't think that's a rationalization. It's a D minus trade. You had to give up Vinny Hinostroza, and that should be an F for nothing for Marcus Kruger. But you did also get Marian Hossa's contract off your books. So it's not a full-blown F, but you've made your team, from all visible and ostensible purposes, you've made your team worse. And you shouldn't be doing anything when you're in the position the Blackhawks are in to make your team objectively and measurably worse. That's a problem as far as I'm concerned. Now, a lot of people are pointing to the cap room they freed up and pointed out that this might be and probably is the part of a bigger plan for Stan Bowman, that they plan on using that cap room to make an acquisition. There are a few guys. Now, let's also not ignore the fact of the asset mismanagement they've displayed here. Do you think Arizona's interest in gaining Marian Hossa's contract has precipitously increased since the NHL draft? Do you think they've made any moves to shell off players, to sell off players? They've gotten considerably worse since the draft, and now they've decided to want to hit the cap floor?
Or
do
no.
you think that interest has maintained the same since the end of last season?
Absolutely.
Is that fair?
They tried to give Vinny Hustrosa last year, too.
With the fifth overall pick, they took Barrett Hayton, who could be a fine player, but it was, by all measures, considered a huge reach. Barrett Hayton would have been there at number 8. So you're telling me on draft day, you couldn't have made the same deal, except let's flop 5 for 8, and then instead of Adam Boqvist, you have Quinn Hughes or Adam Zadina out of the draft? Now, to a lot of people out there that don't follow hockey real close, that just sounds like a bunch of names I'm going to start to you. My point is, that's grievous asset mismanagement out of the gate. The fact that the team probably would have been okay to slide back to 8 because their guy probably would have been there anyways. They still could have gotten Hinostroza. They would have taken on Hossa's contract. Everyone would have been a winner. And then, in me rationalizing that trade, because of the upgrade you got in draft pick, I'd probably upgrade that trade to, I don't know, a C? C+? Because now I have Quinn Hughes in my system.
Yeah.
I have Adam Zadina in my system. Another player I think is going to be a great player. At least a serviceable top 6 NHL player. It just didn't make a lot of sense to me as to why this trade happens now. And if you're going to wait till after the draft, how are you not waiting to see what Ottawa does? How are you not seeing what they want to do after they get Erik Karlsson off their books? And they might be more desperate to get that contract to help them hit the cap floor. It just doesn't make sense. The timing doesn't make sense. That's why I think there's another trade that is not being finalized, but they have an idea of what the central package is going to be. I just don't know who it's with. I don't know who it's for and whether it's a smart move.
Which makes me think they struck out.
They struck out where?
We don't know. It never came out that they really made a run at anyone early in free agency, but why else now make this move?
You think they tried to sign guys right on July 1st and they whiffed?
Yeah, and now they're realizing, all right, well, now we just need to move them. Let's just see what happens. There's no, maybe they, or not even trying to sign, they whiffed on a bigger trade involving Hossa's contract that was in the works for an actual quality NHL player.
Maybe.
That's the only thing that makes sense here. Because the Coyotes, obviously, they did it with Pronger. They did it with Datsyuk. There has to have been a reason that they did it now and didn't do it earlier. Because obviously the Coyotes have been willing to do it because they're probably the only team in the NHL that consistently does this. Takes on contracts of guys who are never going to play again. But it just signals to me that there was something else in the works that they struck out on.
So now, because, like you said, they struck out maybe in original free agency, there's not many guys left just on the open, unrestricted free agent market. You could go sign old man Rick Nash. That's available to you.
I thought Rick Nash signed with the Blue Jackets.
Unless it happened in the last 3 hours, he was a free agent. At any rate, it seems like the most improvements the Blackhawks could make via trade. And what assets do you have to give up that aren't integral to your future? Now, we said that about Vinny Hinostroza, but what are you going to move? Apparently, there's an offer on the table from Carolina to get Justin Falk and Jeff Skinner, but it's going to take Nick Schmaltz and a first-round pick. And now, listen, this is going to stink for me to say, maybe I haven't been totally honest, but I'm not as high about Nick Schmaltz as a lot of other people.
I've gotten some feelings about that, yeah.
I'm not obsessed over the idea of Nick Schmaltz is a surefire top 6 center in the league, or second line center in the league. He should get paid $6 million a year for 6 years. I'm not sold on that idea. But now that Hinostroza's gone, you're going to sell off more young assets? If Ennis Rhodes is still on the team, I'd probably make that trade. Get Justin Falk on my team. Open the door that I can re-sign him. You bring in a guy like Jeff Skinner, veteran presence, play the wing, and all I got to do is lose Nick Schmaltz. Now, all of a sudden, my centers are Jonathan Toews, Artem Anisimov, Marcus Kruger, and David Kampf, which is a problem. But that's where all of a sudden, if Rick Nash goes unsigned for much longer, maybe you take him on a Brad Richards-type deal. Maybe you bring him in on the million-dollar, want to come in and try to win a championship, like, look. And that's fine with me. Point, and so let's say with Carolina, I'm not willing to make that trade because I've already given up Hinostroza. It's going to take Schmaltz. Luckily, Carolina's come off their price of Brandon Saad. And now at least they're looking towards draft compensation and one of the former Ice Hawks, which is, I think, right in the lane they should be for that kind of return. You could also look up to Montreal. Max Pacioretty, we talked about that.
If we keep saying it, maybe it'll happen.
The problem with Pacioretty is he's been on the most team-friendly deal in the league for the last 5 years.
He wants to get paid.
And I don't blame him. Apparently there was a deal in place to send him to L.A. L.A. started negotiating with Pacioretty and immediately nixed the deal.
Yeah, because they just signed a ridiculous amount of money, or sent a ridiculous amount of money to sign Downey.
They probably found out exactly how much he wanted to get paid and said, sorry, can't do it, not worth it for the rental. If that's the number, we're so far apart, we're not even going to take the rental and negotiate with you for a year. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
So you're telling me the Blackhawks have the money to go do that? They freed up $7 million. That's it. And how much could you get off your books in a trade? Not much. So we can talk all until we're red in the face about, oh, there's got to be another deal coming. What's the next deal? You're telling me you're going to start with a pretty young offensive core. Then all of a sudden you're going to trade away a very team-friendly right winger who was second behind Patrick Kane in points per 60 last year. Thing that wasn't talked about yesterday. You're going to trade off your second line center, the guy who was supposed to be Patrick Kane's playing partner probably for the rest of his career, and a first round pick to go get Justin Falk, a top four D-man, and Jeff Skinner, reliable offensive player. But all of a sudden, your aging defense matched by your young offense now just became old altogether. The Blackhawks got a ton older yesterday. Mm-hmm. Not just with who they lost, but now who they're going to have to play in response to that.
They got some younger guys, but in general.
One of them is an 18-year-old. Probably shouldn't sniff the NHL this year.
One's 23, 24.
The other two aren't
30 and...
I pray to God the other two aren't ever going to play NHL minutes. They're just Rockford fodder.
Campbell and the other one.
Yeah, that's all they should be.
And then... the return.
Then a fifth-round pick. And then Marcus Kruger, who might be a third-line center now, if Nick Schmaltz gets dealt in whatever deal is coming up here.
You think they would trade Hinostroza and Schmaltz that close together?
Who else could they trade in a big deal? To acquire Max Pacioretty? To acquire Jeff Skinner or Justin Falk? Who else are you going to trade? John Hayden? Does that guy bring a return with him? Andreas Martinsson? Matthew Highmore? Luke Johnson, a package of some of those guys that were good. Victor Edsel, who carries any kind of return with them? There's a big gap between Nick Schmaltz and the next highest rated guy as far as young players. Alex DeBrincat,
Sakura,
Dylan Sakura. Those are the types of guys that have value. DeBrincat, Sakura,
and even
Schmaltz.
Yeah, no, outside of Schmaltz, you're probably going to have to make a pretty good package if you're going to trade any of those lower guys. So then you're selling even more of the farm. It's probably better to just bite the bullet, trade Schmaltz rather than a collection of young talent, because it's more likely that what out of those three can, rather than trading three guys where you have a chance that two out of the three can match Schmaltz's production,
right?
Just trade the one. And then hope that at least one out of the three matches Schmaltz's production. Or at least gets close to that level.
You know who I'd pick up the phone and call?
Who would you pick up the phone and call?
Philadelphia.
Why would you? Why?
Because they just signed James Van Riemsdyk. Talented power forward. They have another talented power forward on their team with an expiring contract. You know who that is?
Who's that?
Wayne Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I've always fantasized about being a Blackhawk?
He's so good.
Wayne Simmons.
Big Wayne guy.
Would that be a real heartbreaker for you?
Yeah, because I actually enjoy watching him play hockey.
Just under a $4 million cap hit for this year. going to come up in unrestricted free agency next year. Bad news is the Flyers have not shown as much interest as writers wanted us to believe in trading him. Right when the Van Riemsdyk deal got signed, everyone said, well, I guess Simmons is out. Everyone should be calling Philly. And we haven't seen much movement, so maybe they have some plan that involves both of them on the team at the same time. They have plenty of money to re-sign Simmons. It's not a money thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be another call I make, because maybe he comes on the cheap. I don't know. But I don't see them having enough money to re-sign Pacioretty. I don't see them parting with enough to go get Falk, Skinner. Where's the other deal? Who's the other guys? I don't know who else they're inquiring to.
Can I offer you a gently used Scorey Perry?
Ugh. I would officially become... What NHL team would I adopt should the Blackhawks trade or at all acquire Corey Perry? I think I might just become like, what's the most obscure team I could become a fan of? What's the most obscure NHL team? The Florida Panthers?
Yeah, probably.
Just go be a Dale Talon fan, former Blackhawks GM?
Yeah.
Who suddenly looks like a genius? I mean, let's also look at Stan Bowman. What's he really done? He inherited Taves and Kane. He signed Marian Hossa to a 12-year deal. Great signing in that he wanted to play here, but the term wasn't exactly awesome. He let Dustin Byfuglien walk, had to trade him, had to trade Patrick Sharp. Elected to sign Brian Bickell and Marcus Kruger instead of those guys. Let offensive D-man after offensive D-man slip out of their grasp. TVR, Chris Campoli, Nick Leddy. Now, Chris Campoli didn't become anything, but Nick Leddy and TVR would be top four D-men on this team right now. And an offensive shot. Just continually doing his best to have what potentially could have been a dynasty. I mean, I make the comparison to the Golden State Warriors. With proper management, it could have been that level of dominance. It was already pretty good.
If they had light years ahead in management.
What could have stopped that core?
Yeah.
Key, Seabrook, Kane, Taves, Hossa. If you would manage your assets properly. I mean, seriously, watching the Blackhawks play hockey in 2011 or 2010 was like watching the Golden State Warriors play. It was just ahead of the curve. And then instead of having this long illustrious run, you got three cups. You got three cups, which is awesome. But it always felt like it just fell a little bit short of what it could have been. And I guess maybe when you're inside the bubble, that's always what it's going to feel like. Our question of the day on Facebook right now, the Twitter poll still active. What is the best pro sports skills competition?
The Derby has made a run.
Is it the home run derby, the dunk contest? Let us know in the comment section on Facebook. Vote in our Twitter poll. 815-874-1330 is the number to call if you want to answer on the air. We are more than willing to take your phone call. This Blackhawk stuff just has me in such a bad mood. I don't even like to think about it because it puts me right over the edge. All of a sudden, the Bulls look like a well-run organization for how they're maneuvering their cap space.
I don't think we can still call.
Both teams picked 7th or 8th in their respective drafts.
It's a little bit different in an NHL 7th pick and an NBA 7th pick.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. In terms of how quickly they're going to contribute for the team.
One team seems very well set up for the future. One very much does not. Now the other one also won a lot. So you have that going for you.
Hey, the Bulls won some games.
Had
a couple one seeds.
Yeah, the Blackhawks won some games too.
Yeah, don't remind me.
Sports Fan Radio 1330, Christian Ager's birthday. We're going to celebrate it. I got a good story. Christian's going to love this when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Oh, what just happened? Did this just turn into the dance party on Christian Ager's birthday? Oh, don't do it to him. Don't do it to him. It just got real lively in the studio just now.
All you got to do is play a little Billy Ocean and things start to happen.
I am in a far better mood for having heard Billy Ocean than beforehand.
Well, now, that's all that matters.
I was already in a pretty good mood, too. We're having fun on a Friday. It's been a good show thus far. Question of the day. Dunk contest or home run derby, which do you prefer? Facebook post is up right now for you to comment and give your rationale. Twitter poll also up and active. You can cast your vote, 815-874-1330. If you want to call in and interact with us that way, you are more than welcome to. Christian, I couldn't even tip this story to you in our show blocking.
I love when you have mystery things ready for me.
Because it was just too good for me to tip you off. And really, I'm just praying that you didn't see it. Because it came from a source that you won't be very happy about. It was on the radio earlier today. I was driving into work real early this morning. None other than Fox Sports Radio personality Clay Travis had an interview today.
Oh, God. Here we go.
No. It starts salty, and then it gets really, really sweet.
I have not heard anything about Clay Travis today, so I definitely haven't heard the story. So go on.
So he has a regular spot with John Morosi, works for the MLB Network.
Okay.
Interviews him regularly.
All right.
And Clay's been talking about this subject for a couple days, and he finally got to ask someone who would know about it. And that subject is the New York Mets minor league system.
No.
Travis has been claiming that the crappy New York Mets will bring up Tim Tebow at some point this year because they're so bad they have to sell tickets. It only makes sense. He wanted to talk to John Morosi about it because this is a guy who would actually give some insight. Here's a quote from John Morosi. There are a lot of people who thought he was never going to get out of single A. Once you get to double A, you're a bona fide prospect and just one call from the big leagues. If he was totally overmatched and out of his league, we would know by now. He belongs in the big leagues. He goes on to say that he expects Tim Tebow to play Major League Baseball for the New York Mets in September. We're freeing Tebow, baby. John Morosi says it's true. It's got to be true. The Mets are free in Tebow this year.
I own a couple jerseys.
Yeah.
A couple White Sox jerseys. An Adam Dunn Cincinnati Reds jersey. I don't own an actual baseball jersey.
You would buy a New York Mets Tebow?
Absolutely. I love the Mets color scheme. Their jerseys are nice. They're smooth. Absolutely. I might get two different colors.
Here's the direct question and answer. Do you believe Tim Tebow will ever play a game in the MLB? John Morosi, quote, yes, I do. I think he's going to be a New York Met this September.
September?
September.
I have to wait till September?
Do you remember? Well, that's when call-ups happen.
I understand that, but I thought maybe he would make it.
Listen, man, I thought I was bringing you the good news. And here
yeah,
you are,
but
like,
I want it now.
Soon
I
enough.
Want it now.
It's your money. Use it when you need it.
He hit a double in an all-star game.
877 Tebow now.
We need a Tebow. We need a Tebow drop. I don't know which one it's
going
to be.
It's just going to be you going, Tebow. I'm going to pull that audio.
All right, that's fine.
Are you glad I kept this from you now? If I just put free Tebow in the blocking, it wouldn't have been nearly as good of a moment for your birthday.
This is the greatest gift anyone has ever gotten me. I just wish it could happen sooner.
You would buy a full-blown, authentic Tim Tebow Mets jersey.
Absolutely. I'd get the blue one.
I mean, I'm not sure. If I polled Bronco fans, how many people like you would have this affinity for Tebow? It seems like a lot of Broncos fans would look back on the Tebow areas like the dark ages of the Broncos.
Oh, besides winning a playoff game. That was pretty big.
They were a good team, though.
Yeah, and they won a playoff game because of an 80-yard touchdown pass thrown by Timothy Tebow.
One beautiful throw hitting Demaryius Thomas directly in stride. It was Thomas, right?
So, yeah.
Or was it Emmanuel Sanders?
No, it was Demaryius Thomas. Okay. That was before Emmanuel Sanders. That was still Decker.
Hey, listen, guys, I'm sorry.
But,
yeah,
let's
yeah.
not forget, we talked about Jeremy Lin just got traded today, mm-hmm. which got me thinking. And we talked about a little bit yesterday about like our favorite memories. That stretch of Tim Tebow when he finally came up and he was leading comeback after comeback after comeback against the Chargers.
He beat the Bears because Marion Barber ran out of bounds in the fourth quarter when it was drain the clock time. I'm not salty about that at all.
Also with, you know, various special teams players and defense helping him a little bit.
Maybe a tiny tad.
Just a tiny tad bit. But those memories are some of my best as a sports fan that I don't think I'll ever, like, Tebow can do no wrong for the rest of time. He's also dating Miss Universe 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
Man is living the life.
He might be the most handsome man on the planet. He might be the biggest dime he'd ever reached planet Earth.
He's the real life Clark Kent.
Does he still wear the promise ring?
I'm sure he does.
Yeah, he definitely
does. I'm sure he opens every
This is not a Nick Jonas situation. This is not a Nick Jonas situation. The promise ring stayed on with Tebow.
Goes to Camp Rock one time, comes back a heathen. But, No. I'm sure he starts every single press conference with, first and foremost, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
No, he doesn't start it like that. He just shoehorns. I don't even think he shoehorns it into answers.
You think he's finally just focused on baseball completely?
No, you'll just hear stories about him asking sick people on planes if he can pray over them. Real story, by the way.
He actually healed someone.
Well,
he's going to be a saint.
Medicine also might have. The EpiPen might have helped with the allergic reaction, but
he's gonna reach sainthood. I hope I'm alive to see
the first American saint. Saint Timothy of where's that guy from? Is he from Florida?
Yeah. No, he's actually from the Philippines, Manila.
St. Timothy of Gainesville?
No, St. Timothy of Manila.
Oh, man. Well, I had to bring that story to your feet today.
Do the Philippines have a national baseball team?
What? No? Maybe?
Maybe you could play in...
They have a basketball team because they got into a fight with Thon Maker.
Yeah, I know that. But if they had like a national baseball team, maybe he can join their national baseball team and play for whatever the World Cup of Baseball is.
Here's a question for you.
Okay.
If Tim Tebow were to be in Madden this year, would he have a higher or lower rating than Mitch Trubisky?
What position is he playing?
Oh, it's a good question. Let's start with quarterback.
With quarterback, lower.
Yeah, lower. Yeah. Tight end, though.
Tight end, definitely higher.
He'd be higher than a 74 overall tight end.
He's
I don't think so.
75 with his size, he'd be a 75.
Yeah. The greatest college football player of all time, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
I don't know if it's absolutely from everyone, but...
All because...
You were surprised I gave him that title the first time.
I didn't think you were as heavily on the Tim Tebow trade. You seemed like a Vince Young guy to me or a Reggie Bush guy to me. But all because he could take the snap from the 1 yard line, jump over the line, and throw a pass.
Oh, the jump pass? I love it.
Sometimes, the Broncos pulled it out.
Sometimes playing catch just casually, I'll just run at the person, then leap in the air and just yell Tebow and fire the ball into their chest.
It's the equivalent to just shooting anything and yelling Kobe.
That's a good point. You just take two big strides forward and just chuck the ball while leaping in the
air. I'd like to yell Tebow before I spike the ball into the ground. Generally.
No, I was a big Tebow fan. I was heartbroken that game in Tennessee where he got so severely concussed.
Aww.
And was ralphing into the plastic bag, one of the tougher signs I've ever had to see. And that was like a sobering moment as to what exactly football is at a younger age.
Also really upset that after they beat the Steelers, they have to play the Patriots that year in the playoffs. Like,
you think they beat 31 other teams or 30 other teams because they're the 31st?
Yeah. Otherwise, outside of the Patriots, yeah. They definitely could have done it. I believe in Tebow.
Well, listen, we have to hit a break, but I had to bring you some free Tebow news on your birthday.
You understand if he gets called up and if I'm on the show, if I'm not on the show, whatever happens, I'm calling in or I am leading off and putting the entire block. I'll log in.
Yeah.
And the entire show will be about Timothy Tebow hitting a home run in the majors.
I don't think he gets a major league hit. I think he'd play a major league game. He will not log a major league hit.
He's hitting a home run his first at bat. It's Tebow we're talking about here.
He can only hit fastballs.
Okay, guess what?
Do you think anyone's going to throw him a pitch?
Yeah, because he has a higher power looking out for him.
Do you know who could strike out Tim Tebow? Yu Darvish. I feel wildly confident about that.
No, Yu Darvish would have too much respect for him.
Tebow
would come up to the batter's box and bow to Yu Darvish before the at-bat.
That seems oddly racist.
It's not. That's generally just what they do. It's a sign of respect.
Right. But that's cultural appropriation, sir.
Tebow's just Tebow is the type that he would do that because he has respect for other people's culture.
That's not how that works. I've read Twitter. That's cultural appropriation. It's not allowed. It's very triggering.
I'm showing my toxic masculinity right now.
And sir, it's problematic. And you know what? Check yourself. Check that privilege.
Check that privilege.
You know what I got to look for? Whether the Cubs play the Mets in September or late in the year.
Can we? Oh.
I got to look into that.
Oh, yes.
Back to wrap up hour two when we come back. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Lovely, Christian Hager. Happy you joined us on a Friday.
One of the best recorded songs of all time.
Really?
It was a question. Just like, I feel like it's really ahead of its time. It also sounds super futuristic and, like, I don't know. I think it's really aged well.
This is a great example of you being really inside. I can hear it now. I can't say I've ever given the song that consideration, but good for you for really.
Thank you. But sometimes I like to. Sometimes when you say that I am right about something on music theory or just that, I take it.
Gift number six.
Thank you.
Who else in your life is giving you this many gifts on your birthday?
No one yet.
There we go.
Well, actually, the sushi place is going to give me a lot of gifts. I'm going to pay for those gifts.
Everybody. Yeah, mine are just free. Mine are just without a price tag.
Well, I have to give you love, and then you must
good point.
Give me gifts.
Good point. Good point.
That's generally what happens.
Don't take it for granted either. Listen, I told you I was going to try to find if the Mets and Cubs played each other in September. Unfortunately, all I could pull up is they do play at the end of August, August 27th through 29th. So unless they do September call-ups a week early, we might not be able to get our look at Free Tebow. Those games are also in Chicago.
I would go to Wrigley to see Tim Tebow play baseball.
8:05, 8:05, 2:20 on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
So, all right, we'll do the Almanac a little early here because I looked it up last night. I've also looked it up in the past and know some fun ones. But we both share Julius Caesar's birthday. I don't know exactly how that happens, but
you can have it. You can take it.
Okay.
Gift number seven.
Gift number seven, Julius Caesar's birthday. Do you want the birthdays? Because I have Sir Patrick Stewart and Harrison Ford.
Make it so.
And Cameron Crowe, the almost famous director, former Rolling Stones writer. Cheech from Cheech and Chong.
Huh. Basketball Jones. I'm just going to say, huh, random fact.
Huh, random fact. Other than that, that's Ryan Ludwig.
Yeah, no idea who that is.
He's a baseball player.
Okay. Is he active
Ken
right
Jeong.
Now? Ken Jeong.
Yep, yep.
Leslie Chow.
Leslie Chow.
Huh, good old Leslie Chow.
Can you keep doing that, please?
We had someone went to high school with dress up as Leslie Chow for all dress up days, and he was very good at doing the voice, and it made me laugh every time.
It was very good. Also, that same person, him and I were the Blues Brothers for one Halloween back in high school.
Did you wear black? Did you wear white socks with dress shoes?
I did. Of
good
course.
For you.
It was kind of a last second
details.
Decision.
It's details.
It's always decisions. Other than that, no. No, those are the fun ones. I just love having Patrick Stewart and Harrison Ford.
815-874-1330, the magic number to call if there's anything on your mind. Let's go to the phone lines very quickly. Good afternoon. You're on Sports Fan 1330. Who do we got on the phone?
Okay, I'll make this quick. I forgot to ask, what did Dean and Cook get Chris today for his birthday?
Now, this is the really hard-hitting journalism, Jake, and I'm glad you asked because I have to delve into that same question myself. I would only assume lavish gifts because those guys are made of money, as you very well know.
Yeah, oh Christ, they're both loaded. Yeah. I'm just hoping Dean doesn't dip into the prize closet again.
Well, you know, there's these beautiful White Sox schedules here that Christian might be gifted, but thanks for reminding me to bring that up to him a little bit later, Jake.
Okay, good enough. Yeah, don't let him off the hook.
I never have, I never will.
My God, the money they've got, you and I could retire.
Thanks, Jake.
Okay, bye.
That's our friend Jake. We gotta bug Dean Irvin and Bill Cook, see what they got. Christian for his birthday today. That is an excellent question.
The wall, Guillermo Ochoa, did the Mexican goaltender, and also Cody Bellinger and Dante Exum.
Dan, you said you were out of names. Dante Exum. Didn't he have some kind of good dunk towards the end of one of these games?
Yeah.
Sportsman Radio 1330, that's hour two of the program. Hour three is coming up when we return, revisiting all kinds of topics. Our question of the day. Christian and I are going to fight it out. Dunk contest or home run derby. Sports Fan Radio 1330. O'clock straight up, Sports Fan Radio 1330, your home for State Line Sports, Jake Lovely Show. Jake Lovely here. Christian Hager celebrating his birthday with us for our final hour. Hitting the road right after we get out of here. Go to enjoy something that would immediately... If someone told me, hey, do you want to go get all-you-can-eat sushi? I'd probably just throw my hands up and just say, I'm good. Because I don't trust that spot. But Christian, you have the gumption, you have the gusto to go give the place your business the first time. Risk whatever potential health effects you are risking. And then come back on the other side and say, yeah, that was worth it. So props to you.
This is probably like trip number 17.
Yeah, exactly. But trip number one was the most important.
I had to be convinced, but it was a team-friendly spot. We would take basically half the team would go.
Any recruiting visits? Go to sushi?
No.
Not allowed.
No.
Not allowed.
No.
Oh, they're not good enough for sushi until they're in.
Well, yeah, you also half the team just doesn't like sushi, but no, you don't take...
It's not something that I've been exposed to.
What, sushi?
Yeah.
Period?
Yeah, well, somewhat, but not necessarily part of the nomenclature.
Well, we should go on a life-altering journey together.
Go to Juliet and go
No, no, you don't have to. I'm just saying we can do that because I still owe you lunch.
Oh,
we
good
should
point.
Do that.
Good point.
I should take you on this journey.
Yeah, that's a good point.
To
like
sushi
I said,
Wonderland.
Just like I have a hard time... remembering to pay up bets, I also forget to have people...
Yeah, I know. That's why I like to remind you.
It's a balancing
you deserve
effort.
It.
It's about, well...
You won fair and square. Not once, but twice.
Oh, that's right. I have the NBA win, too. We determined that.
Yeah, you did.
I'm
somehow, I also think that was partly just because of some technical difficulties in scorekeeping, but I'll accept it.
And you know why that is? Do you want to know why I won again? Rockford Elvis. And sometimes... You just have to accept that there's greatness in your midst, and we have to win the hard way. Christian, as we move through the rest of our program here, we got a few more things to get to. You were reading me more birthday almanac stuff throughout the rest of the break, and you have determined that July 13th is just incredibly better than July 12th.
Exponentially.
Exponentially. That's the term. So... Even though for one day, I am your elder, you still would keep July 13?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have two of the coolest humans alive right now, as my birthday sakes, or whatever you want to call it.
Who's that? Two of the coolest people alive.
Patrick Stewart and Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Two of the coolest humans alive.
Is Harrison Ford one of the coolest humans alive?
Absolutely.
He comes across as very, very annoying to me.
Really? Yeah. Not a Harrison Ford guy?
No. The
old crotchety old man.
Right. Doesn't do it for me.
Fair enough.
Just
I can understand.
Pretend to be interested. Yeah, I spent all day pretending to be interested.
But like the whole press tour of him and Ryan Gosling together
for
Blade Runner was fantastic.
Was it though?
I enjoyed it.
Right, but that's like you're right. It's just the shtick doesn't maybe mesh with me.
But he also because
I'm a tryhard.
But like the one where they're drinking overseas. During like during an interview process, and then they get into a laughing fit. He's like opens up. That's what makes it great. It's like when he actually opens up and allows himself to have a good time.
All I got to do is make him drink heavily.
Probably not heavily, but probably a little bit.
Didn't he get severely hurt on the set of a Star Wars?
Yeah, he broke something because a trapdoor fell out on a Millennium Falcon set.
So was that mid-filming?
He also punched Ryan Gosling in the face in Blade Runner.
Just like that, just punched him in the face?
Or it was during a fight scene, and he was supposed to pull the punches, and he accidentally punched him in the face. And they they kept that in the film.
Well, just like in Creed, he wanted to take one real punch for an important scene.
In what?
In Creed, Michael P. Jordan really legit punch, and they slow-mo filmed it. Because they were like, we got to slow-mo this. And he's like, all right, let's just hit it for real.
It's like the 30th. It's this week's the 30th anniversary of Die Hard coming out.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Alan Rickman. So the end scene when he's falling, they actually dropped him from 25 feet up.
Yep.
And they told him they were going to drop him on 3. And they dropped him on 1 so that they could have a better reaction. And that's the reaction in the film. That's why it's so good and why it looks so realistic of him falling off the side of a building. It's because they dropped him on 1 and they told him they were going to drop him on 3.
If you dare drop me off of this ledge, you just barely tuck through the underside of your teeth.
Mr. Potter.
Yeah, I guess it is just Snape, but you just barely tuck out of this part of your mouth and you have Alan Rickman.
Great in Galaxy Quest too. Love that movie.
If I were to name just any actor, you could give me like 6 movies they're in, and it's very triggering to me. The amount of actors' filmography you could list off at a given time.
I'm sorry?
Apology accepted. Christian, here's a question. We haven't talked baseball today. Both games are going on tonight. Sox at 7:10. Game right here on Sports Fan Radio 1330. Ed Farmer will have the call. The Cubs are playing San Diego tonight at 9. The deadline's going to be here before you know it. And we're already starting to hear rumors. We haven't heard much about the White Sox, but I think that might change once teams start figuring out what's actually on the market and where a guy like Jose Abreu might fit in. What's more important? What's bigger to their team relatively? based on where the Sox are at, based on where the Cubs are at. Obviously, they have totally different expectations, totally different positions. Is it more important for the Sox to sell off more assets, or is it more important for the Cubs to buy more? Is the Cubs' buying effort more important this trade deadline, or should they just stand pat? Or is it more important that the White Sox get more bolstering to their minor league system, especially given what we know about this date keeps getting pushed back? You said 2020.
I think
a lot of people said 2021. Jake said 2022. With that said, you might be smart. Like Jose Abreu, even if you keep him around, might not be around to be the guy you want him to be. Maybe this is more of evidence that we should be bolstering the farm system for another year.
I think because of the major sell-off they had last year, I think it's more important for the Cubs to have...
To buy.
Because the Sox already had their major sell-off.
Yep.
It's not that important for them to sell everything again because they already sold off most of the prime cut. It's more important for a team that's supposed to be competing for World Series championships every single year.
Yes.
That is slightly underperforming to be a buyer at the deadline than a team that's already on an okay track, hopefully, already has a pretty good prospect farm system in place to be a seller.
The hay's in the barn at this point for the White Sox.
Absolutely. Everything else is just frosting.
Well, the Cubs could use some frosting right now.
Frosting on hay. I don't know how that works, but it works.
The hay's in the barn. Yep, that's just frosting.
Everything else is just frosting.
Yeah.
We're going to put frosting on some hay and call it a cake.
If the analogy works, then the analogy works.
If the nose plays, the nose plays.
Listen, I think you're probably correct. It just seems to me, if I compare the two moves, White Sox making a big sell, Cubs making a big buy, it's got to make more sense for the White Sox to make a big sell for the reasons that the Cubs have already exercised all of their minor league resources. At this point, you're trading big league assets. So you're trading away major league value to get major league value. That math doesn't check out when you're trying to win. That only makes sense when there's a rift in your clubhouse, when you have problem athletes.
Or you're, I don't know, underperforming, and you need a spark to lead you to a championship.
But you've given me all kinds of grief for saying underperforming when they're a game and a half out of first place. They have over 55 wins. Like, let's have a reality check about exactly what they're doing right now.
Yeah, that maybe just the Brewers are overperforming to the point where it makes the Cubs look worse than it is.
Well, just also the expectations we put on a baseball team to be so good every single year just might not be incredibly fair. They're 52-38. 578 win percentage. Brewers lost yesterday, so they're a game out of first place. It might not be the most important thing in the world that they are dominating every July. Now, the starting pitching has been a shell of what we thought it was going to be coming into this year. Luckily, Kyle Hendricks had a good outing last time. You hope you can replicate that, string a few together. You hope that Jose Quintana maybe evolves into a little bit more than what you think you paid for. You, Darvish, can salvage something this year. Tyler Chatwood isn't just a total bust. He'll pitch tonight. But adding another guy into the rotation, adding another body into the mix, does that make you immediately better? Does that make you turn you from a game and a half back at 52 wins to propel you way ahead of the Milwaukee Brewers? I don't see that as the case.
Mentally.
So if you're asking me what's more important, I would go the opposite and say it's more important for the White Sox to grab something, because then let's play the game that maybe this guy you acquire for Jose Abreu doesn't help you win championships. Maybe it's your Gleyber Torres. Maybe it's your Eloy Jimenez. Maybe it's the guy you use down the road as a trade chip to go help your roster and find your missing piece when you're trying to make a playoff run. Because those parts are important too. Those parts of the equation. And I'm saying, with how far we're pushing back this end date on the Sox rebuild, Jose Abreu has only had, what, 6 years of pro ball under his belt? He's not miles-wise an old guy. But he's like 29 years old.
Mm-hmm. Because he came over later in his career.
By the time you win, he's going to be 33, 34. Doesn't it not make sense to capitalize what looks like his absolute peak and get a guy in your system that maybe once Eloy and Yon and all of these guys are thriving and making the Sox into a winning ball club, all of a sudden I take Prospect X and I go get my Aroldis Chapman when my bullpen stinks. I go get Jose Quintana to help my rotation and turn it into one of the strongest in baseball. It helps that effort. And that's why I think the White Sox would be smart, smarter than the Cubs to buy. I think it's much more smarter for the White Sox to sell this deadline.
I think we're diminishing the mental effect that the Cubs making a move would have on that ball club. It's not necessarily, you're going to get a slight uptick in production if you make a major league for major league player trade.
I say the opposite.
You have a slight uptick. But now you have laid the gauntlet down. You have signaled wholeheartedly, hey, anyone can get moved. We're always looking for that next thing, and we need to win now. We can't keep this window open that long. We need to win now. Not necessarily watch your back, but hey, we will do whatever it takes to put us in that what we feel is the best position to succeed and win a championship. And mentally, that signals it to that clubhouse, to that team, that we are in win now. If they didn't, they should already know, but obviously that's the spark. That could be the spark.
I think the Cubs have a problem with the leadership in that they sometimes lose focus as far as competitiveness night in, night out. I do think they like each other. I do think most people in that clubhouse get along. And the problem with that is then you're taking two guys out of that chemistry. When you're trading away prospects that haven't been up to the major leagues yet, it's an unknown commodity. It's not guys that are already in the locker room day in, day out, going on planes and buses, in team hotels, playing cards in the back of the plane. When all of a sudden you're losing those guys to bring in an outsider, that hurts team morale. When you're just adding a guy in and trading away guys that those guys don't know or don't care about, that's when you see, you know, all sunshine and rainbows. When you're trading away Ian Happ or Addison Russell, guys that have very good friends in that locker room, that would concern me as far as chemistry goes. So I would vehemently disagree with that proposition. I think major league for major league can sometimes blow back in your face big time, because now you're disrupting production in the lineup, you're disrupting your pitching rotation, and you're disrupting chemistry in your clubhouse. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Have a full 4 o'clock hour. You won't want to miss it. Jake Logley, Christian Hager, it's his birthday today. We're celebrating. 815-874-1330. If you want to answer our question of the day, what is the more exciting pro skills contest, the home run derby or the dunk contest? We'll talk more about that. We'll defend our stances when we come back. Sportsman Radio, 1330. Jake Logley, Christian Hager, good to be with you on this Friday, 4:17 in the afternoon. Very happy you decided to join us for the end of your workday. Hopefully it ended a little bit early today, as summer Fridays tend to for some offices. Hope you're in one of them. I was hearing Christian scratching his beard there, but that's gift number 8 on his birthday. Scratch your beard in the mic aloud. You also shaved the cheeks down.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Kept the goatee. What's that called? Just the mustache going into the chin. Is that goatee?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yep.
Or is that just the chin?
No.
The connection is goatee.
Yes.
I don't know facial hair terms. Can't grow it, so I don't know.
Like, physically, do you shave?
Oh, it'd be so gross. If I just went totally
like, how much
range.
Money would I have to pay you to see this in action?
Well, whenever Blackhawks in the playoffs, but I didn't have to worry about that this year.
Aw, man. Aw, shucks.
Yeah. It's a real bummer.
I'm so mad I missed out on that.
Yeah, like, people would, like, ask if I want to do, like, the No Shave November thing. I was like, that's just depressing for me. Like a week and a half later, everyone has, like, full beards coming in, and Jake's just like, that's just a little bit of soul, just chin.
Soul
buzz.
Patch. Just yeah. Say it. Just no. Say what you wanted to
soul
say.
Soul patch.
Soul patch.
It's real gross.
You got a soul.
You're not going to, well.
You got soul deep down inside you.
I'm a soul man. Blues Brothers reference, because he said you dressed up for the Blues Brothers as Halloween once. Oh, my God, I'm losing my mind. Yeah, right. That just started now, Jake.
A equals C equals B equals F.
Christian, our question of the day. You and I, for the second straight day, are diametrically opposed on what the answer is to this question. We had a phone call come in when we started this conversation earlier, and I want to get back into it. What's the better pro sports skills competition? Is it the home run derby or the slam dunk competition? You are an advocacy of the slam dunk. You also just adore basketball. So do I. We both rank sports the same way, I think. Just your spectrum is more wide. Like, you love basketball and you dislike baseball. I'm going to bring both of those a little bit closer into the middle, but the order remains the same. just how spread out they are on the love-hate spectrum are a little different. My problem with the dunk contest is I don't like the subjectivity. I don't like who judges it. And I don't like the format of it. The matchups head-to-head I don't think is good. I don't like the fact that celebrities are judging it. I don't like that there's a subjective scoring. I mean, you have to.
The Derby's doing the same thing when it comes to matchups.
Yeah, they have a bracket style.
Now they're doing head-to-head.
Again, not ideal, but you still it's a timed, objective, measured event. DJ Khaled isn't there, and I said Khaled again intentionally. They're measuring the height of the home run and then giving it a score based on how pretty it looked.
Yeah, because...
like, who were the judges last year? DJ Khaled. Who else was there? A couple basketball... Charles Barkley, who had, like, two dunks in his whole career because he could get that far off the ground, like, twice. And there were overhand, double, two-handed dunks. Nothing too pretty. Maybe threw his legs out like Shaq once. I feel like there was a guard that was judging it, too. Like a Kenny Smith or an equivalent of that. Like a three-point shooter was judging a dunk contest.
It was.
Chris Webber made a little sense. I think he was doing
it. Khaled was one of the judges. Chris Rock, Mark Wahlberg, Julius Erving, Lisa Leslie, DJ Khaled.
So one person on the panel could dunk?
Yeah.
One person on the whole panel could dunk on a dunk contest judging table. And any of these people could drastically throw off the results of this competition. Like last year, just objectively horrible scores. Just totally misjudged. Tens were flowing around for no reason. There was the really difficult, I forget what he did, but there was something insanely difficult. I think Larry Nance did something incredible, and no one could see it on the live replay. They had to watch it a couple times and to realize how incredible it was, and he got like eights.
Yeah.
It's just not fun to watch a bunch of celebrities that are probably doing it just to get their exposure up and then watch them butcher the competition that was for a long time pretty well respected. And you talk about
how Oladipo did his Black Panther dunk.
Right. A lot of people don't want to, a lot of people want to say the dunk contest isn't cool because the best players in the world aren't doing it. Yeah, that would help if Russ Westbrook and LeBron James were participating in the dunk contest. But it would also help if the right person won each year and you could make a star with it.
Yeah, but not the right person wins every year for the home run derby either.
But it's objective. The best performer wins in the home run derby because he hit the most home runs.
Not always, because he could lose this. You could have a matchup between two.
Someone outperformed him in a round.
Yeah.
And then that guy could go and stink in the second, but he outperformed in the first round.
But also, there's just...
But in the dunk contest, you can objectively outplay someone in the first round and still lose.
Absolutely. You can have the dunk of the night.
That can't happen in the home run derby.
But it still makes for better TV.
No, how? Now I will give the floor over to you because I've been talking for a while. I want to give you the chance.
Because objectively, it makes for better TV.
That's not, we don't that's not care the thing you
about,
can just say.
We don't care about the winners and losers. We're not going to remember the winners and losers of a home run derby or a dunk contest unless we look it up later down the year, unless it was a rivalry, unless something we have never seen before happened. Guess what? We've seen every kind of home run that could possibly happen. We're not going to see a new home run out of nowhere unless somehow someone crushes it 600 feet.
So you just said that we're not going to remember the winner of either. So I don't see how that's an ad. Okay. Point,
so which one gets to that point in a more enjoyable, a more creative, and a more watchable fashion? Dunking the ball, the showmanship. You used to be a wrestling guy. You understand and you can respect the showmanship of professional wrestling. There is wrestling intros to basically every single dunk. You have costumes. You have props. Everything is a show. It's just objectively more fun to watch.
But you can't say objectively and then give subjective opinions.
That's not subjective. It's you're watching someone hit a baseball out of play. Right?
You subjectively enjoy watching people dump the basketball more, and then you say it's objectively more fun to watch.
Because it was made for TV. It was
the home
made
run derby
for,
isn't?
You can have a home run derby anywhere and you can listen to the home run derby and just still have as much fun. Oh, he hit that 400 feet, he now has 17 home runs. It's harder to describe, oh, he's coming out with this, he's doing that, and fully get that across. for a slam dunk contest.
All right. I understand that you dunks more than home runs. That's been made clear. That doesn't make it objective better television.
The whole showmanship aspect, the whole lead up, yeah, the entire show.
But it's a worse competition. Because of the subjective scoring, because it doesn't have a time.
I said that yesterday. That's literally the only lane that you can take, is that because the scores are objective versus subjective, that's the only lane that
you can build more suspense. You can have comebacks. Like, it looks like a guy isn't going to get anywhere close to the numbers. All of a sudden, just starts ripping off home runs. All of a sudden, this tension builds where everyone's going, oh, my God, is he doing this? Oh, my God, when he just consistently keeps hitting shot after shot after shot. And then everyone, the reaction from the crowd keeps getting hotter and hotter because he's like, oh, my God, when is this run going to end?
You could have the same thing in a three-point contest, too. But the dunk contest is also time. The dunk contest is also time.
You just have two shots now, right?
You have to do it within 60 seconds, though.
Oh. Okay. And if you can't dunk the ball within 60 seconds, you shouldn't be in the dunk contest.
Well, yeah, there's the choice of who's in the dunk contest. Same thing with the choice of who's in the home run derby isn't always the greatest.
Yeah.
But also, it's people that should be in it not wanting to do it. I just think it makes for better TV because it's made for TV. And the whole showmanship aspect versus just watching. Yes, is it a... more
watching the guys on the sidelines, or all the other teammates for the All-Star game celebrating as these guys are ripping it. The AL guys rooting for the AL guys, the NL guys rooting for the NL
the
guys.
The one AL guy that's going to be in it this year.
Yeah. Now this year it's really hot lopsided, but that's not entertaining TV at all.
No.
The interviews on the sidelines afterwards.
I don't think you can compare that to something that is literally made to be a show. That is literally made.
They're both equally made for TV, but neither would exist without television. That's not a fair argument. Neither of those events would exist if not for ESPN or TNT paying out the Wazoo to sponsor them and put them on TV. Without Kia, the dunk contest doesn't exist.
Without Sprite.
Yeah, exactly.
But the home run derby in and of itself, because it is...
baseball.
Scored. No. I'm saying because it actually has a legitimate score and you can say there's a point total, technically, by definition, is closer to a competition, is more likely, more comparable to watching a sport on an everyday basis.
Yeah.
Because you can easily tell who the winner and loser is.
That's, we keep throwing around the term objective and subjective. The home run derby is more objective.
Yeah. Which is why I said that's the lane you can take. If you want your point totals to be for sure, you don't want any conversation or
I want to have a real winner. I want to have a decisive winner.
You can have a decisive winner in a dunk contest. It's a little bit harder to get to, but you can have one if he consistently is knocking the socks off of everyone.
Sure.
The crowd reaction is ridiculous, and you know you can't take it away from him.
But I can put the guarantee on it that the person who wins their individual competitions three in a row is going to be the home run champion.
Yeah.
I can't say that with the dunk contest.
Okay. I think also there's an argument to be made that the subjective nature makes for it to be more watchable because you could have arguments about it. You can have conversations about it. It can lead into the next day's talk, like, no, that dunk deserved this. It can drive more conversation. I think there's an argument to be made there that driving more conversation makes it more watchable or a better competition.
Zuka on Twitter says the energy is better. That's why the slam dunk contest is superior. Builds up massive energy in the building.
There's a good amount of energy in a home run derby, but I do think the slam dunk contest does have has the edge.
Slam
in
dunk is also a little too celebritified. Like, we're bringing out random celebrities to jump over and doing that stuff. That doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, because you're not a millennial.
I'm there to watch people dunk basketballs or jump over mascots at best.
Yeah, and it messes with the great. You can't mess with the great game of baseball. You can't mess with the tradition.
Do you think that's me? In all
no, right now it is, but no, right. Not generally. No, not.
Yeah, so I think I get a little bit of immunity you from that rationale as to why I'm
mess
taking
with
the
tradition of the home run derby, though.
I don't know how long either's been going on. Baseball also for longer had their best players and more often has some of their best players competing in a home run derby. Oftentimes, not the best or the people or the players they most want to see, but basketball hasn't had the equivalent of a Bryce Harper in their dunk contest in a long time.
There's an argument to be made that Blake Griffin and Bryce Harper have had a similar career trajectory.
Was Blake Griffin ever a top three player in the league?
There was arguments being made.
By dummies.
He was in the MVP. He was top five in the MVP voting in his prime before the injuries.
Joakim Noah was a top three player in the MVP voting in a year.
Yeah, but he's more like a five-tool utility player if we're using analogy.
No, unfair. You cannot. You can't use MVP Blake Griffin being top five.
He was also a star.
Because he could dunk the basketball. Because he could catch lobs.
Yeah, and that made for good TV, and it was fun. Right. And also, what can Bryce Harper do really well? He doesn't hit for average.
Not this year, but he does.
He hits home runs, and he hits them pretty far.
That's not the only reason why. He's a great player outside of that. This is totally out of your element to say that Bryce Harper isn't an exceptional.
No, he is. I completely agree. I also believe Blake Griffin is an exceptional. I think you are underestimating Blake Griffin and his trajectory and how good he was when he was the best player on that Clippers team.
I don't think you have any basis to say. I think you're way inside the basketball bubble as to how good Blake Griffin is, and you're not giving Bryce Harper his due for being in a class of about two or three other players for the last 5 years that no one could sniff.
I think it comes back a lot to the conversation about is there a superstar in baseball?
Bryce Harper is not Blake Griffin. He's in the LeBron, Steph, KD, Harden, Westbrook conversation, paralleled over. He's in that tier for baseball. Blake Griffin is
fair
tier
enough.
Two
okay,
at
fair
best.
Enough.
That's what Bryce Harper is to baseball. But you're right. They don't have the same amount of clout socially. Basketball stars are way bigger, but that's where he is in comparison to the 30 teams in the MLB, the 30 teams in the NBA. That's where he fits into the lexicon.
Would he then fit in as James Harden?
You could he might.
Would he fit in as James Harden in that scenario?
He could. He definitely could. My point being, with the exception, I don't know how good Dwight Howard was when he was winning dunk contests. Maybe that was a little bit before he was taking his team to finals.
No, that was a little bit.
Be our closest reference. Dwight Howard was running rampant on the league.
He was the best center in the league.
When he was also winning dunk contests.
Yeah.
That'd be a closer representation to what we're talking about.
The dunk contest came a little bit actually after. He made that run, and then the star power got enough to jump into a dunk contest like that. It wasn't like the dunk contest was him building up his star power.
That might be the last time I was really actually interested in the dunk contest.
I mean, the Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine battles were good.
Right, but they're Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine. The same thing when if Jock Peterson and Jesus Aguilar are battling out in the home run derby, I get that.
Jock Peterson had a good showing, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. He's not participating this year. It's Max Muncy from the Dodgers. Any rate, I guess we're just going to agree to disagree on this one. Not that we ever find, not that either of us are ever going to say,
need
you
a
know
reason.
What? I think you're right. Like, I don't think either of us are ever going to do that. But I think it makes for interesting conversation only because it kind of clicks into what we value in terms of entertainment. I think
an objective ending or a subjective ending.
Right. So if I wanted entertainment, that's why I like sports. There are winners and there are losers. This team scored more points. This team did this more times. Oftentimes in Twitter conversation, we like to talk about, well, if the refs hadn't done this, it would have been this. And if not for this, should be this. But those arguments always ring hollow because the score still ended this way or that way. And that's what I enjoy out of sports. If I want showmanship, you're right. You could go watch anything else that is more subjective. You could go watch movies. You could try to find the blend and go watch professional wrestling if you really want to, if you want that blend. That's why it's kind of a niche thing. But I think if you want objectivity, that's why sports is there. Other values of entertainment, that's where the subjectivity comes into play. I think that's what I'm valuing. Christian likes to have that. I think, and I'm putting this on to you, and you tell me if it's wrong. You like blending that world. You like bringing the storylines and the narrative and the drama into the objective world of sports and molding those two things together and finding that lane in. Like, you're into the drama. You're into the controversy when locker rooms are blowing up, things like that. I think you enjoy that part of the sports thing, too. And I'm more like, just play the damn game.
Yeah, absolutely. Give me a reason why it's a big deal.
Why these guys don't like each other.
Yeah, that this second string shooting guard is going hard at this third string shooting guard in the fourth quarter of a meaningless game. But they're going back and forth down the court because, guess what? He liked the Instagram comment of this or slid in his girlfriend's DMs.
Good
like
God.
Things like that. That's fun. That it's is, little fun things to watch.
That is so...
Makes for good highlights.
That is so ridiculous to me. But yet you've definitely... I mean, that's happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man. Sports Fan Radio 1330. A question of the day still available to you on Facebook. Poll is still open on Twitter. Christian, I know I teased that we were going to go to break there, but can we check on the poll results real fast before we go to break?
56 home run, 44
Ooh,
slam dunk right
big
now.
Big time run. Big time run for home run. Appreciate
a little comeback
that.
Right now.
I appreciate that. Sports Fan Radio 1330. We're back after this.
We have a crisis on our hands. It's about attribution, and it is making smart...
Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Logley. Christian Hager, celebrating Christian's birthday on this Friday, 4:39 in the afternoon. Beautiful night to head out to City Market. I think our friends over at B103, Judy's out there representing. Go say hi to Judy. I have a ton of fun hanging out with her in the mornings. Wrapped up our first week. Hopefully, if you're listening to that, you had some fun as well. 95 degrees currently outside, Christian. Feels like 101. So I don't think the traffic at City Market will be as bad as in previous weeks when it was really moderate. I think this one might be down a little bit.
You think so?
With a heat index of 101. Yeah, I'm speculating here, and I can't say I'm an expert at these types of things. But I feel like it might be a little toasty for some folks out there at City Market. I know it's too toasty for Christian. He's going to be... Did you get AC fixed in your car?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, good. So at least for your ride to Joliet, it won't be
absolute
misery.
Absolutely.
That's how you got yourself pulled over, trying to go too fast, get too much wind going in the car.
No, okay, I turned the air on, and Freon and dust just flew into my face, and I freaked out a little bit, okay?
And when you freak out, you go lead foot.
And it turned on my cruise control.
Christian, has it been a sufficient birthday show thus far?
I think so.
Have you? Have, all of my
do you have gifts? Something else? Do
no,
you have
I don't.
A, okay.
I don't have anything else on my sleeve.
I thought you were going to bring in like a cake. Yeah. And...
Were you secretly holding out hope? Because
someone is going to pop out of the cake. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Sing me happy birthday. I don't know.
A new Ellie Goulding song. You were advocating pretty hard for a birthday gift from a new Ellie Goulding song. She did not deliver for you.
Yet.
Yes.
We still have a couple hours.
There's one thing we know that usually gets released at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. It's new releases of music. So you're telling me there's a chance.
You're saying there's a chance.
We got World Cup this weekend.
We do have World Cup this weekend.
Are you going to be pretty fired up? Are you going to watch the third place game?
I will, because I like both the teams in it.
England and
Belgium.
Definitely don't say it like that, though, huh? You know what? You could say it like that. Gift number 9. You're so welcome. God, I'm so nice.
You're such a great person.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. I know you really mean it, too.
Belgium wins that game.
Yeah. Belgium wins the third place trophy over England. England's just probably too demoralized.
Yep. France 3-0 over Croatia.
Did that line move at all?
I'll tell you right now.
Because you said they opened it barely a favorite.
Plus 195.
And that was uber surprising.
You thought it would be more.
And you said it might stretch out before game time. And I said, I don't know. It seems a little too short of odds to really believe it's going to expand a whole lot more. But I guess I don't know these things factually. If I look over here, Croatia and France, and I click on it, Croatia's plus 392 now. So all the money poured in at France. Wait, so if it goes to penalty kicks, it technically counts as a draw?
Yeah. All right, that's the hard part about... betting on soccer.
Even the money line in soccer can just screw with you.
Especially when it gets to these late round games. You saw 1-0, you saw the 1-1. Teams play a lot more conservatively these late round games, and sometimes you have to kind of play for the draw.
France is only minus 106, though, which means you would make 94 cents for every dollar you bet. A draw plus 232.
That's pretty similar to what I'm looking at here.
Man, I'm
England's plus...
I already hit on 285 on Croatia.
Belgium's plus 125.
You can't risk...
England's plus 205.
England plus 205.
Both teams are plus money right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll happen in soccer also. A draw is probably like the most likely scenario.
Plus 265, the least likely scenario.
Hey, you had to throw that in my face.
I'm sorry. No, I'm just saying that is kind of surprising. But the fun thing about that is this is the first time I've seen a over-under set at more than 2.5. This is a solid 3. Now the France-Croatia game is at a 2. Drop from the 2.5 to an even 2 for the over-under.
I see. So I was telling you this earlier. Soccer over-unders, I want no part of, because I can determine a little bit of who's going to win. The problem is that styles matching up can sometimes make for higher or lower scoring games, and I'm not very good at reading that. Would you feel confident betting over-unders in soccer?
In a World Cup, early stages with Belgium playing, with England playing, with Brazil playing, yes. Just hammer the over. Generally, hammer the under when it's late stage games. But World Cup, not as much. Club games, yeah. I think I could feel a little bit more comfortable. Under hits more like most. I'm pretty sure statistically unders hit more when it comes to soccer. But
that's because it's a boring sport for boring people.
Sure.
You know what? I take it back. Give number 10. I didn't mean it in the first
I
place.
Like that you keep these out there just so you can give me another gift.
Yeah, I'm saying something mean and then taking it back, and that's a gift.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm glad. No, like I've said many times, you have a really good sense and a really good way of making yourself look like the good guy, right? No matter what the situation is.
Or is
you
it
are incredibly talented at that.
That's not spin zone. That's not a spin zone. That's just...
No, we are in the
no-spin
zone.
If that's how you feel... Caution! If that's just how you feel, most likely that's just the reality. Like, I'm not doing any manipulating. That's just...
If you feel...
You found yourself
you
being...
You create your own reality?
Yeah. Mm. If you feel yourself saying to yourself, Jake's a good guy here. Maybe I'm just...
Maybe you're actually a good guy?
Just right.
Maybe.
Maybe. Probably not, but maybe.
No, I'm going to give you this. You
all
know
right.
what?
Yep.
Relative.
I gave you 10 gifts. I didn't get one yesterday.
No.
From you. I got pizza and a sandwich, which was lovely, by the way.
Relative and comparatively to a majority of the people in the world, human beings.
Yeah.
You are a good person.
Right. Okay.
You are inherently, intrinsically
relative
a good person.
Relative to the world that you despise and deride on a near daily basis, I get a passing grade. Comparative to the world that you think is lost.
Like if we're on
and drifting fully away.
If we're on a weighted grading scale,
okay.
You come in at a solid like 89.
Wow.
A high B.
All right.
A high
weighted
B.
Though. Weighted.
Yeah. So you
objective,
took the honor class.
Objective to your life values. Why do I score?
Objective to my life values?
Yeah. To what you value.
To what I value?
Not to worldly weighted scores.
Probably like a 71.
71?
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
that big of a boost on a weighted scale? 71 to 89?
Yeah, because my values don't normally match up with the world's. And
yeah.
You say a lot of things that I disagree with. So
okay.
71.
All right, so 71. You piece of crap.
So it's probably somewhere in the middle of like an 80.
All right, that's a college B. I'll take that. It's a low C in college prep high school, but it's a passing B when you get to college. So I guess that's fair. Tell you what, let's take a break. Let's deliver some weekend hot takes when we come back. Wish Christian another send-off for a happy birthday. Sports Fan Radio 1330. He'll pick that phone up, too. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Logby, Christian Hager. Wrapping up Christian's birthday show. I guess I didn't follow through on gift number negative one that I promised, which was carte blanche to talk Denver Broncos and Anaheim Ducks for as long as you wanted. I did spare the greater Rockford community that diatribe. But you can sit in here and we'll take the board out of program and you can just talk into the mic for a while. Starting at like 5:30, like if that's a good compromise. And you can record it and then send it to yourself. Like, guys, look what I did on the radio today.
That sounds so awful.
Just only give it to people you don't know, and they'll be like, wow,
so
you sent
awful.
This to the radio? You'd be like, yep, I sure did.
So awful.
Come on, it'll be fun.
Terrible. Awful idea. Try again.
How about some hot takes?
Are we ready for hot takes? Are you ready? Okay, fine.
This is another great example of it's your birthday.
You can't be mad.
Gift number 11. Not screaming right now. Not just... I had to bust out the salsa remix. There's nothing not funny about this.
It sounds so much like when you buy that ringtone back in like grade school, like the 99 cent special remix of a song.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's so great. My hot take for the weekend: Isaiah Thomas just signed with the Denver Nuggets. Sixth man of the year, also...
All the eyeball emojis for the Nuggets, by the way.
Yes. Also, Isaiah Thomas, all-star this year and sixth man of the year.
He's not starting? Oh, you're right.
Murray will. Or, yeah.
They have Murray and Gary Harris already there.
He won't start. He'll be a sixth man. But he will do well enough to make an all-star game and be sixth man of the year.
Nuggets got a squad. Dude.
I'm really excited for that team.
What was the money per year?
For Isaiah Thomas, veterans minimum, like $3 million. It's a show me contract.
Good Lord. Yeah. I mean, that guy was set all kinds of records. You see his Instagram story where he was just throwing up screenshots of him like on the same graphics as Michael Jordan and someone else. And be like, only guys to ever do this, making history. I mean, the guy had a pretty exceptional run in Boston.
He did. And like I said, I think this is the position he needs to be in. And this is the team to do it with. Even though just no defense will be played when he's out there. It's just not going to be a great defensive lineup.
A lot of people, one, great take. If I bought NBA League Pass and chose my three teams, I'd choose the Bulls, the Bucks, and the Nuggets.
Well, there's no reason to buy the Bulls, but
if I lived in...
Okay.
If I lived in maybe Croatia.
You're going to move to Croatia?
A lot of people called last week's game, Wednesday's game, between England and Croatia, a choke job. You know what I saw?
Oh, God, you're going there, aren't you?
Destiny.
Oh,
Some people saw a choke. I just saw a destiny manifesting itself, which is just a unique term that I thought of just now. No one's ever said those two things together before.
Manifest destiny?
Yeah, I just thought of a destiny manifesting itself. That's just something I came up with. Maybe it'll catch on.
Okay.
Christian says 3-0 Croatia.
3-0 France.
3-0 France. 2-1 Croatia.
Oh, this...
Not even PKs. Well, that would be a 2-2 in PKs.
Are they going to go to extra time, though?
No.
No, this is regulation
90 minutes. It's destiny. France's players have melted down on the biggest stage. They will again. Mbappe hasn't been there before. Pogba is a head case. It will manifest on Sunday. Destiny will be realized. The checker jerseys are coming back out because France has those blue ones they can wear.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be marvelous.
All I have to say is this week has been a success because your Friday hot take had to do with the World Cup final. I finally win.
Well.
Huh.
Or there's just nothing else happening. Sports Fan Radio 1330. We'll see if I was right. We're going to enjoy the John Deere Classic on Sunday. Hope you have a great weekend. Happy birthday, Christian. It's Sports Fan Radio 1330. Have a great weekend. So long.